لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. يا ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين. ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتح. آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear lovely sisters, how is everyone doing this morning? I hope and pray that you all are experiencing the highest levels of spirituality, iman and taqwa, inshallah wa ta'ala. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all deepest Ramadan ever. May all of your sayams, qiyam, salahs and worships are accepted and rewarded by earning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's prayers. Ameen. Ya Allah, time is passing like melting ice. May this Ramadan a starting of a never-ending journey on the road to success. Ameen. On behalf of Nurul Quran International Institute, the entire team of Journey Through Quran, welcome you in this session of Juz 27th in Journey Through Quran, live from Atlanta, Georgia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this tiny effort of ours to spread the Nur of Quran and enlighten the hearts with the Nur of Quran. Bi-Iznillah. Tawfiq Allah, we are on a steady journey of Quran, and yesterday, 26th Juz was completed in the process. Alhamdulillah. And what was the theme of the Juz? Anyone? Alhamdulillah. Do your part to develop ideal society. Alhamdulillah. The connection between Juz 25th and 26th is that we discussed day before yesterday in Juz 25th, the importance of consultation in teamwork. So how it not only makes a job easier, but it also brings out the best in the light of opinions of everyone involved. But there are do's and don'ts in it too, like every other thing, obviously. So teams are only made with ultimate respect for each other. There should be a respect for each member. So mutual respect is very important. Then if a person's heart is open to suggestions, he does not have any ego problem, does not have any ill manners in his heart, only he will be able to consider consider opinion of others worth considering. Because a person with negative personality can never achieve anything. So we have to develop these qualities in order to develop a productive and ideal society, inshallah. Subhanallah, we completed 6 surahs in the Juz. Surah Al-Ahqaf, Surah Muhammad, Surah Fath, Surah Hujrat, Surah Qaf and Surah Az-Zariyat. Different topics were highlighted in the Juz. Main topics in all surahs had been Tawheed, worrying for Akhirah, creating a productive society. So let's go through just the main points. So inshallah wa ta'ala we prepare ourselves for Juz 27th. In Surah Al-Ahqaf, it started with oneness of Allah, to worship Allah alone, and the dead in the graves will not be able to help us in any form or shape. So it is useless knocking at the closed doors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala door is 24/7, 12 months a year open. No holidays, always available. Never a voice message. So why not call upon him? It's a thought-provoking question. Why we have to knock at the closed doors when we have open door, without any reservations, without any restrictions. Action point, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will cut the middle part, any middle person, and we'll go straight to the one who can create our problems, inshallah wa ta'ala. People will be rewarded according to their deeds. So whoever seek only dunya will get that, and he will have no share in akhirah. Then the significance of age 40 was highlighted. As a person reaches at the maturity level then. So learning and purification go side by side. When you find the doors closed, there is one who can open. So knock at his door. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed capable of opening any and every door. So never lose courage. Keep on trying, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses whomever He wants. It is the Quran that clears the vision, and all the myths leave a person. We are on just 27th now. Is my vision clear? That's the question we have to ask ourselves today. If my vision is clear, am I ready to commit myself to another journey, which is waiting for me after Ramadan, inshallah wa ta'ala, road to success? And am I ready to study in depth this clear vision? Question I have to ask myself. Then Surah Muhammad, it gives the message, the importance of a good leader. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help come after taking the first step towards Him. And then our deeds grow continuously. And it encourages us to create a stream of continuous rewards for ourselves. And when we commit to a certain cause, certain thing, it is also a part of that continuous journey. When we commit ourselves to in-depth study of Quran, inshallah wa ta'ala, that will create a continuous sadqa jariya for us and our parents, inshallah wa ta'ala. But the criterion will be always sincerity, right? To refrain from being a transgressor, breaking the ties of kinship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need our money. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala certainly will not accept from a stingy heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees our hearts. So we have to enrich our hearts. The importance of the tadabbur and tazakkur was also highlighted in the surah. Then next surah was Surah Al-Fath. It was told believers will be rewarded with four things. Their evil will be removed. They will get success, gardens of paradise for them, a permanent abode. Who does not want that? Subhanallah. But for that, we have to work a little harder. The qualities a believer has to adopt help Allah. Develop respect, obey Allah, do tasbih, and belief. Have a stronger belief. So obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every situation, whether you understand it or not. Weak iman makes a person justify their lifestyle. If you want to be part of success, then work for it. Be a part of the struggle. It will help you to plan for your akhirah. And inshallah, when we plan for yet another journey, that is the step taken towards planning for our akhirah. Because that way we will understand all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how to obey Him, like the obedience should be done. If we want sakina in our lives, we have to develop personalities like sahabas, have to work tirelessly. So this is work time, and we will sleep peacefully later, inshallah wa ta'ala, when we are 6 feet under. Let's make our mission to work like sahaba. Next was Surah Hujurat. In it, etiquettes of talking with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and social etiquettes were highlighted. And believers were told to believe in everything what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell you. We don't have Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives, but we do have his sunnah in our lives. So we have to study his sunnah. We have to know what was Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life like. So we can, inshallah wa ta'ala, bring that sunnah in our lives. Then Surah Qaf, it encouraged us to live our lives to welcome death. We will not fear death, but we will welcome death by working for it, making it better, making it easier, making it an ideal death. It was told that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's records are complete. Nothing is missing. Always update as they are being recorded as we do our deeds, whether good or bad. So it's up to us what we choose. Today, we are blinded with a curtain, but that will be removed the moment we are dead. The moment our eyes are closed, we will see everything very clearly. Neither Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get tired, nor He subhanahu wa ta'ala forgets or change His promises. Inshallah wa ta'ala, we will discuss that. We have to be a firm believer in Inshallah wa ta'ala. It was encouraged to do deeds that will bring Jannah closer. We should be aware that the trumpet is ready to be blown. Israfil alayhi salam is so ready for it, and he is waiting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders, and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked to advise people through Quran. So what's our action? We have to do the same dawah through Quran, but first we have to learn, right? In detail, inshallah wa ta'ala. Surah Zariyat was the last surah of the juz. It encourages us to live a conscious life. Ponder over the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See the signs within our bodies. What a beautiful creation. What a beautiful creation, subhanAllah. Acknowledge the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the last hours of night. And what we are going through, the last 10 nights. We will, inshallah wa ta'ala, make the best use of these nights. Every night, we will beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. We will beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's maghfirah. We will beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the right path. To enlighten our lives with the nur of Quran. To honor us to study Quran. So we can understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments, inshallah wa ta'ala. We have to develop that connection with our Rabb. Then subhanallah, a must mention of who? A personality. In every juz, subhanAllah, he's been mentioned, Ibrahim alayhi salam, his hospitality. So dear sisters, it is our personality which reflects our inner belief. Inner beliefs are strengthened with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his promises, his commandments, his glad tidings, promises of Jannah, its luxurious lifestyle. And then it shows in our personalities, subhanAllah. That firm belief, it just shows. When we have a strong faith in something, we talk with confidence, we show with confidence, we act with confidence. SubhanAllah. So in order to keep that pattern going, let's join Sister Faiza in yet another session of Journey Through Quran of Juz 27th from Atlanta, Georgia. Jazakumullah khairan kathira wa ahsan jaza. A reminder, stay focused and divert your attention fully towards learning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam. Inshallah wa ta'ala. Ameen summa ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillah. Yesterday's juz was amazing juz. And you know, when we learned yesterday's juz and about the sahaba, I always used to wonder, why is that we are thinking that sahaba are somebody that they're too nice, too good, and we cannot even try or strive to be like that. And then I came up with an answer by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know what, sometimes shaitan makes us think that things that are going on in our life are okay, and the sahaba and the pious people and muttaqi and scholar and shahada and siddiqeen and of course prophets are there, they are way up there. And I was wondering why is that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we send prophets among you as people, as humans. Why? So we cannot have this excuse, though they are not human. This is why they're able to do that. And yesterday we learned when Sahaba, they used to carry the mission of Islam as if their own. And this is what made Sahaba, Sahaba. And this is how teams are created. Today, if you and I really want to see a change in the fabric of this world where Islam is a dominant religion again, we need to produce team like Sahaba. And in order to produce team like Sahaba, we learn a lot of qualities. First, we have to take out negativity from our lives, and that we learn in the personality traits that we have. Because it's very simple. If the container has some dirty water in it, no matter how much clean water you pour on top of it, it will stay dirty. This is why we see today people may be doing a lot of good deeds, but you don't see any change in them. And you don't see that Muslim Ummah is working at large in a bigger scale to bring the change. This is why we start from the basic things, and that is to take away all the ghil, all the evilness, all the enmity, all the gossiping, all the things that make us stay on a level of human being only. Do you know why? Because Sahaba used to stay on a level of azima. What it means is today, inshallah, we will learn, and that is the theme for today. But before we go into today's theme, we're going to listen to the recitation. So I was talking about Sahaba. Sahaba used to live on the level of Azimah. What does that mean? This means that there are two types of people. One who like to stay on a basic level, and the other one who likes to stay on a level above that. So in this dunya, we do the same thing. We have a mindset that, oh, whether I want to be a person who belongs to elite class or whether I'm happy with the average class A citizen, whether I want to be an A citizen or whether I want to be D citizen. So this is what we're going to learn today. But first, listen to the recitation of just 27's beginning ayahs. And then while you're listening, try to concentrate, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who listen to Quran with concentration. Because imagine, it is not a word of a normal human being. It is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we're listening. And today we will learn Surah Ar-Rahman. And Surah Ar-Rahman is filled with so much melodious repetition of ayahs that really satisfies your heart and fills it with so much love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put love and barakah in our heart for the Quran, so that we enjoy each and every moment of it and we are able to focus through it.
قال فما خطبكم أيها المرسلون قالوا إنا أرسلنا إلى قوم مجرمين لنرسل عليهم حجارة من طين مسومة عند ربك للمسرفين.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعده فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we're going to start just 27, and as we all know that we are on the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, and most of you must be staying up at night. And when you stay up at night, it is not easy to get up on time and come to this class. Congratulations to all of you who are able to make it on time. Do you know why? Because today's theme is about be the forerunner. Just 2017, be the forerunner. As was-sabiquna as-sabiqun. And the forerunners. What it means is those people who want to make it far ahead, those people who want to lift themselves up from the basic level of Muslim and move up the ladder to the mu'min and then muhsin, they are the one who become forerunners. And there's a three category of people we will learn. Inshallah, once the ayah comes, we will learn about that. But here we need to understand, if we truly want something from our life, if we truly claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my Lord, and if we truly claim that ashadda hubba lillah, I am the believer and I want to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with shadeed love, with a love that is intense, then we have to see, because you know what? Our lifestyle is a reflection of our iman. As we learned yesterday, that Islam and iman are two different things. And today there is an ayah will come where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask people of iman, O people of iman, why don't you believe? Can you imagine? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking people of iman, why don't you believe? What it means is that having iman is one thing, and working for iman's improvement and be there for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time is something else. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to make us among those who are sabiqoon as-sabiqoon. There is one thing is sabiqoon al-awwaloon, right? Sabiqoon al-awwaloon are the one who are the first few ones who comes. And then sabiqoon as-sabiqoon are that among those first few, they are the sabiq, even among those. Meaning, they have the highest status. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a motivation as we're leaving and ending towards the completion of Quran. As it seems like, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing the hearts and mind. Number one, recheck and reevaluate your life. What are you heading towards and what do you want from your life? Number two, we will learn today ayahs about death and the preparation of the death and how the death will come and how we're going to face it. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live this life just like that. Once you have the once you have the knowledge of Islam and Quran, now you need to prepare what you want. And then we will learn some ayahs about the Day of Judgment, that once you die, what's going to happen, where the soul goes. It is the preparation journey. If you think about it, this Quran, the word Quran starts with Q, and the word Qiyamah starts with Q also. Have you ever wondered why? Because Quran reminds you of Qiyamah. Every time a person, when he recites Quran with understanding, it gives him a reminder about Day of Judgment, about the Qiyamah. Today, as a believer, if you and I want to be the light for the society, then we must prepare ourselves first with the mindset that I want to be a forerunner. Let's make dua and intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I give my affairs in your hand so that I am free and my mindset is free to become a forerunner. With that, inshallah, you know what? We need something else. We need to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because without dua, we cannot be a forerunner. Without the awe and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot get rid of and clean our hearts, purify our hearts. Imagine if the heart has all the filth. Do you think the love of Allah will come? This is why. This dua of today's is really beautiful. This dua was taught by Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this dua, we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free our heart from any and all fear and the love of this dunya. And give me the mindset of the love of akhirah and mindset of to meet the love of meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a day of judgment. Let's say the dua inshallah and try to say ameen and actually say it with the purpose that you're actually asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the dua? Allahumma ij'al hubbak أحب الأشياء إلي واجعل خوفك أخوف الأشياء إلي واقطع عني حاجات الدنيا للشوق إلى لقائك وإذا أقررت عين أهل الدنيا من دنياهم فأقرر عيني من عبادتك. O Allah, increase your love for me over the love of all other things. What are we asking in this dua? Give me so much of your love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that all other love becomes secondary. The love of Allah becomes the priority. The love of Allah becomes the focus of my life. And then you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, exceed your fear over the fear of all other things. Meaning, I shouldn't be afraid of what people would say. I shouldn't be afraid that I have to do this and what's going to happen next and what's going to happen to my child and what's going to happen to this and that. You are saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take away all the fears of my life and replace them with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the khashi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know why? Because when the khashi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in the heart, the fear of the people goes away. Sahaba didn't have the lifestyle where they would fear people. They were fearless, as we learned yesterday, that they were very soft among the believers and not very tough on the non-believers. Because if you fear people, you cannot do that. Today, the majority of the Muslim Ummah is fearful of people, is fearful of powerful people, and this is why they are always making excuses. I can't do that. I cannot go there. It's not possible for me. What people are going to say? So before we move forward, we need to take this sentence out from our life. What people are going to say? Who are people? People are nobody. They're not going to be there for you on a day of judgment. This is why you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They take the fear of people and all other things, the fear of the things away too. And then you say, exceed my eagerness to meet you. Can you imagine? You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I want to be so excited. I want to take off like a jet when it comes to this dunya, living in this dunya, because I am accelerating. And you know, when this mindset comes, then a person is not scared of death. Then he looks forward to death. And that's when he wants, I want to go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, in this dunya, if you have some appointment coming up with a special appointment, like for example, appointment with a notable person, a high-ranked person or something, you tell other people, you know, that person is meeting me on such and such day. And when you have a wedding coming up, you say, I have a wedding coming up next year. People plan way ahead. So this is what we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to plan way ahead that who do I want to meet? Who is my love? Who is the love of my life? My love that I want to be meeting eagerly. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you say, you give me the eagerness of to meet you over the worldly desires. Meaning, when people plan for worldly desires, that I want to go do this, I want to wear that, I want to meet that person. All these desires become secondary because now you have an important appointment to meet. And when the eyes of the people of the world are cooled by their world, place the coolness of my eyes in your worship. Meaning, when people are busy enjoying shopping, when people are busy attending parties, when people are busy planning next event coming up in their life, you, the person who asked this dua, they say, oh Allah, instead of that me finding fun in those things, I want to find fun in meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to find fun in salah. This is why the people who actually are the picture, a mirror of this dua, to them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the famous hadith, that a person's heart stays in a masjid. He longs for masjid for one salah to another. Do you know why? Because now he's eager to worship. He enjoys it. He doesn't find burden. He doesn't say, how many tarawees have left? Oh my Allah, I'm already so tired and it's only 10 tarawees I did. And this person, when they ask this dua, you know what happens? Basically, the lifestyle of this person becomes same during Ramadan and after Ramadan, meaning the lifestyle is not much of a difference of a true believer. During Ramadan, he fasts. After Ramadan, once in a while, he fasts, like Mondays and Thursdays, the Sunnah fast, and Ayyam and Bir fast, and all those. During Ramadan, he recites Quran, and he recites Quran after Ramadan too, because he enjoys it. During Ramadan, he gives extra charity. He does so after Ramadan too. Basically, during Ramadan, he eats only two meals in Suhoor and Iftar. After Ramadan, he eats two meals too. The only difference is that he eats the meal after dawn, not before. And in the afternoon, he eats before sunset, not after. That's the only difference they have. You know, sometimes I used to wonder, why is it that we as believers, today we see the Ummah as a people of Ramadan? This is because we have no idea that what is it that we'll be asking. Inshallah, the remaining nights of power, try to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give this dua from the bottom of my heart and accept it on our behalf. Let's go to the next slide. There we see the connection between Juz 26 and Juz 27 themes. Why and what is the connection? In Juz 26, we learn that we have to develop a personality, right? And then we need Allah's help to develop that personality that is liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only then we can be among the forerunners, meaning the one who runs for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have you ever wondered those people who are always there, constantly doing something for Allah, constantly volunteering their time, and they're working on projects one after the other? Today, our projects are of different kinds. We don't have battles to do. But Sahaba, you know their projects, what they were working for? Their projects were those battles. Their projects were preparing the establishment of the deen. Today, our projects are not consist of battles, but yes, they are consist of some things that can really bring closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it be a school, whether it be a volunteering organization, whether it be coming up with the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, like for example, having a mindset of raising the nation that can be a leader and so on. Here, you and I can really think of our own. What is it that I want to do? And first step to go there is, of course, become a student of knowledge. Meaning, If you have already signed up for the new course, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, may Allah make you among those who are sabiqoon al-sabiqoon, sabiqoon al-awwaloon. But if you haven't done so, we still have time, inshallah, do it. The first step is to fill the form. And once the form is filled, then you can take the next step. Only then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. Another point I wanted to share is that all the dua that you need to make for future improvement, future growth, they should be done in the company when you're doing something good. This is what we learn in Quran, and this is what we learn from Sunnah, that when a person does something good, angels are surrounded that place. Like, for example, right now, as we speak, we're learning the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do you know that currently angels are surrounding the place where you're sitting, and they're making dua for you, and they're saying ameen to the dua that you're saying. This is why, make intention now. Don't worry about it, whether it's going to be hard or easy, because once you step in, Allah make things easy for you. So inshallah, make intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to be a forerunner. Now, next we go to today's juz main points. Today, there is a cluster of surahs we will learn. And some of the surahs are very beautiful. In fact, all surahs are beautiful, but some of the surahs are very common. We know them very commonly, like, for example, Surah Ar-Rahman. Surah Ar-Rahman is known for its melody, right? Its melodious style. When you listen to this surah, it makes you wonder how beautiful this Quran is. And then the Surah Waqia. People have this mindset that Surah Al-Waqia is supposed to be recited when a person doesn't have a job. So today we will learn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't talk about anywhere that you should recite the surah when you're in need of job, when you're in need of a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, Surah Waqia does tell you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about three categories of people, and there we can make up our mind, what do we want for our life? And then Surah Al-Hadid is even more beautiful, because in that surah, we learn how to open up the heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the people who do not open up the heart, what happens to them? So inshallah, with that, let's see what other things we're going to learn, the main topics. It gives you direction of life. We will learn the ayah today about فَفِرُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ, run towards Allah. And we will learn that Allah will unite their kids. Meaning when a people who run towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they make it to the highest level of Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give their kids to them. And we'll learn the second part of the story of Isra wal Mi'raj in Surah Al-Najm today, and blessings of Allah in Surah Al-Rahman, and good comes back to you. We will learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever you do good, it is for your own good. And three groups of people we'll learn in Surah Al-Waqia, and spend for Allah's deen in Surah Al-Hadid. Now, the continuation of Al-Dhariyat, we just started yesterday, and we did it up till ayah number 30. Today, we will begin from ayah number 31 to 46. In this paragraph, we will learn about five nations who were destroyed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath was upon them. Let's begin with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi minashaytani rajeem. Bismillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in our time, inshaAllah. قَالَ فَمَا خَطْبُكُمْ أَيُّهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. Ibrahim said, then what is your business here, O messengers? They said, indeed, we have been sent to people of criminals to send down upon them stones of clay. Which nation we're talking about? The nation of the Lut alayhi salam, marked in the presence of your Lord for the transgressors. So we brought out whoever was in them, that is the cities of the believers, and we found not within them other than a single house of Muslims. Can you imagine? When corruption gets at large, and when people stop stopping the people who are corrupting themselves, then the sins become widespread. They become so much so that they become the norm of the society. Today, exactly this is what we see. People are scared of people. They don't say don't do it. They don't spread awareness. They don't do their part. And then the nations all at once are destroyed. And we left therein a sign of those who fear the painful punishment. And in Musa was when we sent him to Pharaoh with clear authority. But he turned away with his supporters and said, a magician or madman. So we took him and his soldiers and cast them into the sea, and he was blameworthy. And in Ad was a sign when we sent against them the barren wind. It left nothing of what it came upon, but that it made it like disintegrated ruins. And in Thamud, when it was said to them, enjoy yourself for a time. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the time so people can really get indulged in it. And then all of a sudden, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests them and take the leash back. But they were insolent towards the command of their Lord, so that thunderbolt seized them while they were looking on. And they were unable to arise, nor could they defend themselves. And we destroyed the people of Nuh before indeed they were a people defiantly disobedient. Allah SWT is talking about five different nations and five different punishments they came. Why? Because they were disobedient and defiantly disobedient. Al-Fasiqun. Today we see fist open at large, the widespread fiscus everywhere. All these five things these nations were destroyed for, we see that. We see the arrogance in the leaders of today. We see the homosexuality at its max. We see business tactics being wrong. We see all these things that these nations have. Then the question comes in mind, how come we're not destroyed all at once? The answer to that question is that Prophet ﷺ made dua for his ummah that, O Allah, do not destroy my ummah all at once. This is why we see problems in different parts of the world all over. Simultaneously, some problem comes and goes and another problem comes, and problems are very frequent nowadays. More frequent earthquakes, more frequent storms, more frequent landslides, and more frequent sicknesses, illnesses. Do you know why? Because this is also one of the signs of Day of Judgment. All the nations, the whole world has to go under. This is why today the punishment that we're going through, which many people do not even understand that this may be a punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the lockdown. Don't you think that it has to do with the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't you think it is also one of the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And people who want to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are thinking deeply, they're the one who are actually connecting the dots. But majority of the people, they're not. In fact, they're afraid, they're actually mad, and they're putting out rallies out there and saying that it is our right to go out. And people are sad. People are upset about that, that government is stopping them. They don't realize it is not the government. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has put you through this trial, that you are locked down. Despite of having time, you cannot go out. Despite of having cars, you cannot drive. Despite of having friends, you cannot invite. Despite of cooking food, you cannot feed. What is it? Don't you wonder why is what's going on in our life? The life is not going to be same after this. Like they say, after 9/11, the life was not the same in the whole world. And after this, life is not going to be same for all of us. So what do we learn in this paragraph? Nations were destroyed in different ways. Allah gives some punishment in this dunya, but full punishment will be given in akhirah. Those who live in assumptions will not make it. And the nation of the Prophet ﷺ is not destroyed because of his dua. And live within the prescribed lifestyle so that we can save ourselves. And this prescribed lifestyle comes with Quran and Sunnah. Next paragraph, we learn 47 to 60, run towards Allah. Fafirru ilallah. This is a goal setting ayah we learn in this paragraph. Let's go to ayah number 47. وَالسَّمَاءَ بَيْنَهَا بِأَيْدِي وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ. And the heavens we constructed with strength, and indeed we are its expander. And the earth we have spread out, and excellent is the preparer. And of all things we created two mates, that is counterparts, perhaps you will remember. What are some of the counterparts come into your mind? Think of anything that has, well, that is only one thing. There is nothing, you know, when a person gets mad, he is calmed down too. That's the counterpart. When a person grows old, he was young too. That's the counterpart. When a tree is short, it grows taller. That's the counterpart. And it comes in everyday life. Everything has a counterpart except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our life's counterpart is our death, and this life's counterpart is the akhirah. So we need to think about it. What is the counterpart of my life and the life is hereafter? If that is the counterpart, then I should be focusing on that. And we also learn in the hadith that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, give things in pair because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it. What does that mean, give it in pair? Meaning, if you are planning to give $1, make it 2, make it a pair. If you're planning to give $10, make it a pair of 20. If you're giving one piece of cloth to somebody, make it 2. So why? Because Allah says everything is in pair except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why that when we learn Surah Al-Ikhlas, we've learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. It doesn't say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wahid. It says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ahad. What is the difference between wahid and ahad? Wahid is something that after that second ithnan comes, like when you count 1, 2, 3, 4. So when you say wahid, then it means that ithnan comes after that. But when you say ahad, that means Allah is one. And you know, Bilal radiallahu anhu, he used to say ahadun, ahadun, when he was being tortured. And this is oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is one. Tawheed is the key to success. Let's renew our intention that we are here to learn the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of all things, we created two mates. And that is their counterparts. Perhaps you will remember. So, flee to Allah. Fafirru ilallah. Highlight this ayah because this is the mindset that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to us. Indeed, I am to you from Him a clear warner. So what should we do? This is a focus of my life. Fafirru ilallah. Now the question comes in mind. How do you learn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not here in this dunya. Yes. But running towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, running towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning towards to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning towards to please sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow his footsteps, running away from shaitan, meaning that means you are running towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how can we do that? First of all, the very first step we need to take is that mindset. We need to have this mindset that yes, I want to learn Quran in my life, bring this Quran so I can accelerate. Basically, what we're learning in this ayah is accelerate your effort. Meaning, if you're already doing 5 salahs, alhamdulillah, add the 6th one. If you already do 30 fast in month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, add the sunnah fast. If you're already giving basic zakah, alhamdulillah, give more sadaqat. If you are already learning Quran, alhamdulillah, increase your time spent in contemplation in tazakkur. Today we will learn the ayah about that too. In other words, whatever stage you are in, try to improve and go towards better. And this is what Fafiru ilallah is. And once you reach one level, then automatically your heart and mind will tell you to reach the next level. This is why you see people who live the life of ignorance, they're happy the way they are. They don't find anything wrong with it. But the people who find Quran, the people who find Allah, they're always taking one course after the other, and the reputation, and they're looking for this one, and they don't make the opportunity go away. They attended one lecture, and they're looking for the next one, and they're looking for the next one, and they're planning the life for this month, and the next step, and the next step. And they, in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes the nucleus of the life, and the life revolves around the nucleus of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why, have you ever wondered why do we do Hajj the way we do? You know, when we go for tawaf, when we do tawaf around the Kaaba, what are we saying to yourself? Why are we doing this round, round, round 7 times? You know why? So we can learn how to focus our life when we come back to Hajj, come back from Hajj, that my life revolve around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revolve around Quran, revolve around Sunnah, and then whatever I do, the way I think, everything reflects that. Everyday life reflects that. Yesterday, somebody was sharing their story that in the workplace, when they got up and they had a meeting with their boss, and they were saying to the boss, yes, I slept late in the morning. You know why? Because I had to stay up. The boss asked why. He said, because You know, this is month of Ramadan, and the last part of the night, the latter part of the night before the dawn, that last 1 hour or two, they are the golden hours. And then you're supposed to stay up and you're supposed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're supposed to seek forgiveness. And the boss, being non-Muslim, he was so shocked. He was so shocked that a grown-up man who works for a corporate America, who has a high-level, high-paying job, and he is the one who's saying that he gets up in the middle of the night to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To him, it just didn't make sense. And you know why it didn't make sense to him? Because Muslims nowadays keep their Islam toward themselves. They go out, they talk to non-Muslims in their workplace, in their colleagues, in their co-workers, and they don't talk Islam to them. And I'm not saying go preach Islam, Islam is this, Islam is that. No, I'm saying share what you do in the month of Ramadan. Share what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about slandering. Share what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about backbiting. The other day, somebody else was sharing the story in their workplace. Of course, this gossiping happens everywhere. It's not just a problem with the Muslim community. This happens everywhere. So this person, she said within the workplace, the minute they started talking about the boss said this and the employees not doing the job, and they were talking about the gossiping that person. So she said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to participate in that. Everybody was so shocked in that meeting. How come? What is wrong with that? So she told them about this ayah and the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that backbiting is not right, and we're not supposed to do it. It is as if I'm eating the blood, meat of my brother. They were so shocked to hear that. This is how you spread Islam. This is fafiru ilallah. When you bring Quran, the teachings of Islam, in our daily life, in our everyday conversation, if we don't do this conversation, do you think somebody else is going to come and do that? And this is what the missing element is. Muslims are too shy to be fafiru ilallah. They think that people are going to make fun of them. Look at this person. They're always running towards the masjid. And we have joke in our culture too. Look, he is always running towards the masjid. That's all his job is. He has no life. And you know what? People think they found life when they get into this dunya. And when they are into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say they lost life. It is the mindset we need to change. Each and every individual sitting in this room, listening to this class, and the people who will listen to it afterwards, it is for all of us. We need to really start taking step forward. We really need to take a fresh start in our life and re-strategize what do we want. And you know what? This will come from the dua that you will make, inshallah, in the night of power. Oh Allah, give me the focus of my life so I can be the faqibu ilallah. And do not make us equal with Allah, another deity. Indeed, I am to you from him a clear warner. Similarly, there come not to those before them any messenger except that they said a magician or a madman. Did they suggest it to them? Rather, they themselves are a transgressing people. So leave them, O Prophet, for you are not to be blamed. And remind, for indeed, the reminder benefits the believers. And I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me. Highlight this ayah number 56, because in this ayah we learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I created a man and the jinn to worship me. When people hear this ayah, they say, how is it possible? Why can't we do anything else? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this dunya? How come we're going to serve and earn money for our kids and family? How are we going to feed them if we're supposed to sit on a salon rug and pray all day? Here, please clear the concept that we have. A Muslim ummah have this concept. Yes, we are here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the form of worship they don't pay attention to. They think, and this comes with a half-hearted deen. When the people don't know the true deen, this is how they think of deen. That, you know what, do tasbih, one tasbih and after, and then stay up and do qiyam al-layl and do fast and do all the rituals of Islam to the best of your ability, and you're a good Muslim. No, this is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayah, that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The forms of worship are different, meaning everything becomes worship when you do it with the intention to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even sleeping. How? First of all, you do sleeping with the sunnah way. Another way is that you sleep with the mindset, oh Allah, why? I want to sleep because first, it is your command. Second, I want to gain energy because so that I can use this energy to serve you. Don't you think that the sleep becomes worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You go to work, your husbands go to work, and they earn money. And if they have this intention, you remind them their intention every day. As a wife, it is your job to remind them you are earning money, you are working all day long, tirelessly, because it is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide for the family. Don't you think that the workplace hours becomes worship? Similarly, when you are in a kitchen cooking food and preparing food to your family, if you have intention, oh Allah, I am doing so because you gave me the responsibility to serve my family and provide for them, so I am doing that. Don't you think your cooking becomes worship? When you invite people and have party and you become a good host and you cook good meal, don't you think you're following the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam by hosting people? When you invite your relatives over, when you are being kind to them and call them and talk to them, and don't you think that you are doing worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by keeping the kinship ties? When you volunteer in organization, and don't you think it's better than just praying all day at home? Because you need people to run all these religious organizations, all these Islamic schools, all these organizations where teach and learn Quran. All this mindset, it's very wrong when it comes to Muslim Ummah. They do not understand what is worship really means. May Allah make it possible for us to truly understand what worship truly means. And then, I do not want from them any provision, nor do I want them to feed me. Who's saying that? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, you know what, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want a penny from us. Then why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always telling us to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is because of our own good. Indeed, it is Allah who is the continual provider. Highlight this ayah. Inna Allah huwa razzaqul zul quwwatil mateen. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I am the continual provider, the firm possessor of strength. Meaning, the paycheck that people think that comes from your company, it is not true. The paycheck comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, for those who have wronged is a portion of punishment, like the portion of their companions. And so let them not impatiently urge me. And woe to those who have disbelieved from their day, which they are promised. So what do we learn in this paragraph? Run towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Advice is beneficial. When somebody advises you, you take it. And when you give advice, it is good for you. And Allah created us to worship Him, not self. Meaning, don't follow your own desire. Follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And Allah created everything in pair. The best way to give advice, when you use hikmah. Because if you give advice and you bring people to Islam and you do it the wrong way, do you think they're going to take it? What if you're sitting in a company and there's a meeting going on, and after that meeting there's a happy hour, everybody's intermingling, introducing themselves, and then you get up on the stage and say, Islam is this and Islam is that? Do you think it's going to work? No. But how do you use hikmah? The way I just gave you an example. Bring up the conversation, what you do. Bring up a conversation every now and then about the treatment of the parents. Bring up the conversation every now and then about the treatment of the orphans. Why not? Isn't that how we're going to spread the Islam? And do this within the family too. And rizq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn a hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Tirmidhi 2344. Umar ibn Khattab reported that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you were to rely upon Allah with the reliance due to Him, He would provide for you just as He provides for the birds. They go out in the morning with empty stomachs and return full. So what do we learn here? We should have the tawakkul on Allah when it comes to risk, so that we can free up the time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a book written by some non-Muslim. The name of the book is 4-Hour Workweek. What it means in this book is this, and it teaches you how to manage your life to work for only 4 hours so that you can earn enough money so that the rest of the time that you have free to do what you like. And for a believer, what is the free time is? free to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. And do da'wah work, do work extra, do community work, do projects, do huge things. If a person keeps busy himself in the work hour, then do you think he's going to have time to do extra projects? This is why we need to really re-strategize our lives. And you know what? Muhsins are the one who runs towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fasiq is the one who runs away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here we can check our lifestyle, where are we running towards, and run towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's where the ultimate success lies. And inshallah, we're going to listen to the recitation of the next surah, Surah 2. Surah 2 is beautiful surah. But before we go into that, and before we listen to the recitation, let's do this hadith Qudsi in the next slide. Abu Dharr reported, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah Almighty says, whoever comes with a good deed will have the reward of 10 like it and even more. Whoever comes with an evil deed will be recompensed for one evil deed like it, or he will be forgiven. Do you feel the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And whoever draws close to me by the length of a hand, I will draw closer to him by the length of an arm. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, whoever draws close to me by the length of an arm, I will draw close to him by the length of a fathom. And whoever comes to me walking, I will come to him running. Can you imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I will come to him running? You know what it means? It means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate more ways for you to do more goodness. And whoever meets me with enough sins to fill the earth, not associating any idols with me, I will meet him with as much forgiveness. In other words, when a person asks forgiveness, Allah gives it. This is in Muslim 2687. And in the next slide, we have another hadith. In this we learn, And in this dua, you ask, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is of course a hadith too in Ibn Majah, and this is the dua that you're asking, that, oh Allah, I seek you for paradise and for that which brings us closer to it. And this is the dua of today's theme too, right? Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannata wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin aw amalin wa a'udhu bika min an-nari wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin aw amalin wa as'aluka an tajala kulla qada'in qadaytahu li khayra. What are we asking in this dua? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to do this fafiru ilallah. This is why you give me all these things. So my focus is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the next slide, Surah 2. Let's listen to the recitation and then we'll continue.
والبيت المعمور والسقف المرفوع والبحر المسجور.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والطور, by the mount, and by a book inscribed. In ayah number 1 to 28, in this paragraph, we will learn that they will meet their kids. Who will meet their kids? The one who makes it to the Jannah, and they will meet. Now, in this first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, by the mount, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by this place called Tur, and by the book inscribed, in parchment spread open, and by the frequent house, and by the ceiling that is heaven raised high, and by the sea set on fire, indeed, the punishment of your Lord will occur. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears 6 times with 6 different things, and then he says, the punishment of your Lord will occur. What does it mean? It means the severity and the seriousness of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not a joke. It is not something to take it very lightly. And you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by the place called Tur. What is Tur? Tur is the place where Musa alayhi salam met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where Musa alayhi salam found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what? The places are also blessed. People find something there and that place becomes blessed. Like Makkah, the land of the Makkah is a blessed place. Like Medina, the land of the Medina is a blessed place. Like Tur was a blessed place. Like Hira, the cave of Hira, the tiny, very small cave became blessed place. You know why? Because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found Allah there. He found Quran there. Here, you and I can ask this question to ourselves: what is the goal of my life? Meaning that where am I going to find my Quran? What is it that where I will find, and when is it that I will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is something we need to think about. We need to have a mindset. I want to find my Hira. I want to find my place where I feel connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For some, it may be inside their home, a corner of the room. When they go to that corner, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For some, it may be a special place or a special rug that reminds them. For some, when they travel and they watch nature, they are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one of the students, she shared the story that she said when they were learning Surah Al-Ra'd, they were learning it outside, sitting in a beautiful resort. They were on a vacation in the summertime. And she did not quit the class, since I'm going on a vacation to some outside of this country. And she said, no, I'm not going to do that, because I am doing for fear of illallah. So I'm going to do continue of my class. So when she was sitting outside, the ocean was below it. And she was on top of the mountain. And there was a swimming pool according to a description, and the swimming pool was edgeless, and it was going down, and it was as if it appears to be flowing into the ocean. And there was a beautiful resort area she was sitting, and she was saying, I had learned Surah Al-Ra'd when I was sitting there, and that's when I found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though I was learning Quran before that, because Surah Al-Ra'd is in the middle, but she said, that's the day my heart opened up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly, and I realized this is it. This is my lifestyle. This is what I want to do from now on. Just attach myself to Quran. You know why she said that? Because that was a door for her. That was a heart-changing place for her. So let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give a door in our life, give a hira of our life, where we find Allah and truly indulge ourselves in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the day, the heaven will sway with circular motion. Try to imagine this sky that you see out there. It's going round and round like a hurricane, like a tornado. And the mountains will pass on departing. Imagine these mountains walking, because this is a real. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, don't you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking real? It is not joke. It is not some made up fiction story. No, it's not. Because when we are living in the fictitious world, we watch these movies, and in that movie they show all these magical moments, and we believe that everything is magical. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it's not magical. It is real. This will happen. Then, woe that day to the deniers who are in empty discourse amusing themselves. The day they are thrust towards the fire of hell with a violent thrust. Its angels will say, this is the fire which you used to deny. Imagine the fire of Jahannam. How blazing the fire will be. You know, there was a fire a few days ago. We were listening to the news in Australia. It was so much fire that they said even within the city, like a center city, so of the Sydney areas, they felt the warmth in the climate. You know why? Because the fire that was going on in outskirts of Australia, the heat was reaching towards the center core of the city. Imagine the fire of fire of Jahannam. And this fire of dunya is nothing as compared to the fire of Jahannam. So let's say, Allahumma la taj'alna minhum. Then, is this magic or do you not see? Enter to burn therein. Then be patient or impatient. It is all the same for you. Meaning, rather, if you're patient right now, it doesn't matter. You're supposed to be patient in the dunya. What patient is going to bring you there? You're going to have to be patient anyway. Because you cannot get out. It is all the same for you. You are only being recompensed for what you used to do. Indeed, the righteous will be in gardens and pleasure. Highlight this ayah, because this is what we want, right? Innal muttaqina fi jannatin na'im. Meaning the people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, they are the one who's going to make it to jannatun wa na'im. There are many different jannas. One is jannatun udn, one is jannatun na'im, and there are so many jannas. And you know what? This is all depend what kind of jannah do we want, and our efforts will show which jannah do we belong into. Enjoying what their Lord has given them, and their Lord protected them from the punishment of hellfire. They will be told, eat and drink in satisfaction. Kulu washrabu haniya. Highlight this ayah. This ayah can be, as a phrase, it can be used in a daily life. How? Kulu washrabu haniya. Instead, just say that, kulu washrabu haniyam. Why? Eat and drink in satisfaction. When you see somebody eating, when you watch your family eating food, the one you cook, you can say this dua to them. Kulu washrabu haniyam. Eat and drink in satisfaction. They will be reclining on thrones, lined up, and will marry them to fair women with large, beautiful eyes. And those who believe and whose descendants follow them in faith, we will join with them, their descendants, and we will not deprive them of anything of their deeds. Every person for what he earned is retained. And we will provide them with fruit and meat for whatever they desire. Notice the fruits here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. The, what kind of fruit they will be? The fruits of Jannah will be only the same by the name or maybe by the looks, but the taste will be very different. And they will exchange with one another a cup of wine wherein results no ill speech or commission of sin, meaning they will not lose their mind like in this dunya when they drink. They do all kinds of filth, all kinds of foul language, all kinds of foul actions. This will not be there. There will be circulating among them servants, boys, especially for them, as if they were pearls well protected. Ulman will be serving the food and drinks among you. You know, in this dunya, it is not easy and affordable to afford any servants who would serve you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you don't have to afford. Allah will provide for you these beautiful young boys scattered like a pearl. And they will approach one another, inquiring of each other, meaning they will be having fun time. They have no work to do. They will be enjoying the company and they will be asking about each other. They will say, indeed, we were previously among our people fearful of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highlight this ayah. Ayah number 26 is telling us what kind of lifestyle they lived in this dunya, so they got this ending. Meaning, they were fearful in this dunya so that they don't displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, we can all do self-analysis. If our life is a display of this lifestyle, where the people are actually fearful of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, that's not what we see. People generally speaking do displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all knowing too. They know something is not right. They still do it. They know this is haram. They still eat it. They know this is wrong. They still go there. But you know why? Because they're not afraid of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the people who will make it to Jannah, they will be saying, قَالُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُ مِنْ أَهْلِ فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ. So Allah conferred favor upon us and protect us from the punishment of the scorching fire. Because of the fear in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save them. Indeed, we used to supplicate him before. Indeed, it is he who is the beneficent, the merciful. Meaning, they actually in this dunya would make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them this beautiful reward. And you know what we learn in this ayah? These ayahs, we learn that the people who will make it to the top level of the Jannah, because Jannah is 100 levels, right? So the people who will make it to the top level of Jannah, and they will be inquiring about those people, maybe their kids, and they would be saying, you know, I don't see my son here. I don't see my daughter here. Where are they? And you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, can I go meet them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, no. They will say, how come? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, since you are in a higher level of Jannah, it is not befitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send you to a lower level of Jannah. So instead, what we will do is we will bring them up to you. Meaning, if they were on a second level of Jannah and you are on the 80th level of Jannah, instead of you going down meeting them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them up to meet you. How beautiful. People will be united there. The only requirement is they have to be in at least in one of the level of Jannah, right? What if they don't make it to Jannah? Do you think they can still come? It's like if you are on the same flight and you ask the flight attendant, I want to move up to the first class, I'll pay extra. She'll move you up to the business class or executive class from the economy class, right? So this is the case. If they can come from the economy class of the Jannah to the executive class of the Jannah if they're in the same plane. What if they're not in the same plane? Do you think they can make it? No. So this is what we learn here, that Allah will make them, give them the higher level just because you made it yourself to the higher level. This is why we should be doing fafiru ilallah, make it to the top level. So if other people are not there, you can call them up to the topest level. So what do we learn in this paragraph? Where is our tour? This question we need to ask. And Baitul Ma'mur is the house of Allah up in the heavens where angels are circumambulating, doing tawaf all day, every day. And there is so many angels there. Once they do one time tawaf, they cannot come back again because it is so filled. They only get one chance to do tawaf. And hell and heaven are both real. They're already there. It is not a made-up story that Allah SWT is writing now, Zubillah, that they will have this and they will have that. Because it is already prepared. And they will say, indeed, we were previously among our people fearful of displeasing Allah SWT. This ayah we need to take home today. And do not argue. In the next paragraph, before we go there, let's do the hadith. In the next slide, you see Abu Huraira reported, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, years of treachery will come over people in which liars are believed and the truthful are denied. The deceitful are trusted and the trustworthy are considered traitors. And the disgraceful will deliver speeches. It was said, who are the disgraceful? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, petty men with authority over the common people. Ibn Majah 4036. Isn't that what we see today? People who are not even knowledgeable, they're the one who have the mic and they're the one who are making people go astray. So this is why we need to really come back and attach ourselves to the true Quran, or else this Quran will disappear from our lives. Abu Huraira reported, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the human beings die, his deeds, and except for three, ongoing charity, beneficial knowledge, or a righteous child who prays for him. So we can see ourselves in the light of this hadith of Muslim 1631, that do I have a righteous child I am raising? And am I seeking knowledge? Am I really serious to learn the knowledge of deen and ongoing charity? What am I doing for that? Abu Talaba reported that Prophet said, verily, the most beloved of you and the closest to me in the hereafter are those with the best character. Verily, the most hateful of you to me and farthest from me in the hereafter are those with the worst character, the boastful, the pompous, and the verbose. So what do we learn here? We learn here that these qualities will keep us away from the Jannah. And if we truly love Rasulullah, because those who have the best manners, best etiquette, best character, they're the one who's going to be closer to Jannah. Closer to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah make us among those. Ayah number 29 to 49. When there is no desire, what happens then? وَذَكِّرْ فَمَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِكَاهِنٍ وَلَا مَجْنُونٍ. So remind, O Prophet, for you are not by the favor of your Lord a soothsayer or a madman, or do they say of you a poet for whom we await from a misfortune of time? Say, wait, for indeed I am with you among the waiters. Or do their minds command them to say they are transgressing people? Or do they say, he has made it up? Rather, they do not believe. Then let them produce a statement like it if they should be truthful. Or were they created by nothing? Or were they the creators of themselves? Or did they create the heavens and the earth? Rather, they are not certain. Or have they the depository containing the provisions of your Lord? Or are they the controllers of them? All these are questions to make a human being ponder. Or have they a stairway into heavens upon which they listen? then let their listener produce a clear authority. Or has he daughters while you have sons? Or do you, O Prophet, ask of them a payment so they are by debt burdened down? Or have they knowledge of the unseen so they write it down? Or do they intend a plan? But those who disbelieve, they are the object of a plan. Or have they a deity other than Allah? Exalted is Allah above whatever they associate with Him. And if they were to see a fragment from the sky falling, they would say it is merely clouds heaped up. Isn't that what people say today? They relate everything to this, according to the scientific methodology. They say this is because of the science plant produce flowers. This is the science that makes the plant produce fruits. And they don't get to see the Lord in this way. So may Allah really truly give us, because in the high school also they teach one of the subjects called theory of knowledge, and in that they talk about stuff like that. And when Muslim kids, our kids go to these universities and schools and high schools, they are actually brainwashed and they forget about God. This is why we see the atheism on the rise. You know why? Because this mindset is being given to them. There is no need for God in your life, and all the stuff that you see, the fruits and everything, the nature, the way it works, it's all science. And they justify through that, and they come up with this beautiful word called Mother Nature, meaning it is the Mother Nature that's doing everything. What is Mother Nature? Don't you question this? What is Mother Nature? Where does it come from? Who's telling this Mother Nature to do something, whatever they do? So leave them until they meet their day in which they will be struck insensible. The day their plan will not avail them at all, nor will they help. And indeed, for those who have wronged is a punishment before that, but most of them do not know. And be patient, O Prophet, for the decision of your Lord, for indeed you are in our eyes, that is sight, and exalt Allah with praise of your Lord. وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ. Praise of your Lord when you arise. This is the command given to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should be praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a word of praise. You know, sometimes you get into making dua so much that we only make dua, oh Allah, give me this and give me that. And we forget to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only is the zakkur. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, where you don't ask anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the dua asking also an ibadah, but praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also an ibadah. In fact, this praising of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ibadah that is accepted supplications. Like, for example, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah lazim. You are not basically asking anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're just glorifying His name. And in a part of the night, exalt Him, and after the setting of the stars, after the setting of this, the Hajj was mandatory for Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For us, it's a choice, it's an option, and if we do it, it's going to bring great benefits in our lives. So what did we learn in this paragraph? Allah is free of all shirk. People will be unconscious when the day of judgment will come. Ignorance is not a bliss. You need to educate ourselves and do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala morning, evening, and 24/7. And Jubair radiallahu anhu became Muslim because of this ayah that we learned today. Am indahum khazainu rabbika am humul musaytirun. Why? Because when he heard this ayah, it really touched his heart. So we can all ask this question, which ayah touches our heart that we can come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And hardship comes so a person can come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So consider the hardship as a blessing. Let's listen to the recitation of the next surah. But before we do that, let's go to the next slide and learn this hadith. Intermidi 3433. This is the dua. And for ending a good ending. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Glory is to you, O Allah, and praise. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except you. I seek you for your forgiveness and I repent to you. Meaning, whenever we are in some kind of a gathering and the gathering is ending and we're leaving that place, you should make this dua. That gathering, if you have any gossip or any sins that was committed in that gathering, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. So it is so important, because as human beings, we are very quick and very easy to forget about what we're supposed to be saying and not. So we do make mistakes, right? So say this dua every time a gathering is ending. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned illness and said, when a believer is afflicted by illness and Allah cures him of it, it's severe, it serves him as an atonement for his previous sins and a warning to him for the future. But when a hypocrite becomes ill and then he is cured, he is like a camel which has been tethered and that let loose of its owners, but does not know why they tethered it and why they let it loose. It's in Abu Dawud, hadith number 3089. Surah Najm. It's amazing, beautiful surah. Let's listen to the recitation of first couple of ayahs and then we'll move on.
صاحبكم وما غوى وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى علمه شديد القوى ذو مرة فاستوى وهو بالأفق الأعلى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Surah Najm is an amazing surah. Surah Najm is a surah when this came in the early time when Muslims were being persecuted and the Mushrikeen in Makkah were planning against Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were being tortured and they were being bothered. And this is the time that some of the people had to migrate to Habasha, Abyssinia, to save themselves, because it was unbearable torture the Muslims of early time were going through. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed them to move and do the hijrah to Abyssinia. At this time, one of the day, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in a Makkah. When he went there to the Kaaba, a group of large number of people of Mushrikeen in Makkah were sitting there. At this time, Surah Najm was already revealed. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went and started reciting Surah Najm. And you know what? Those people were sitting there as a fearful enemy of Islam. But the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qira'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so powerful, even though they could have gotten up and stopped sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told them not to recite this surah. But they were mesmerized by this surah. They were so much into it. They couldn't move. They couldn't stop. They were listening to the whole surah, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to recite the whole surah in front of them. And their hearts were so touched by it, they all fell down in prostration when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the when he fell down in prostration because of the ayah that comes in. So this actually spread the rumor that that all these people of Mushrikeen in Makkah, they accepted Islam. But this was not the case. It was just that they were mesmerized and they fell for it. So today, when we learn Quran, why do you think it doesn't affect us? Do you know why? Because we don't know what they're saying. This is why in the new course that we're offering, in that you will be learning word-to-word translation and you will be memorizing that. You know what it means? It means when you listen to the Arabic Quran, you know exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and you would understand it as if it's being said in your own language. And this is the beauty of taking the Quran class and becoming a student of the knowledge. So when you recite or when you hear the recitation, it touches your heart. So, in ayah number 1 to 25, we learn the meeting of the messenger with the angels. In this surah also, we will learn about Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's second journey to Isra wal Miraj. We already learn about the first journey in Surah Al-Isra, the first ayah, right, in 15 juz. And today we're going to learn the second part of the journey when he went up in the heavens with physical body. He went up there. Surah Najm. Ayah number 1. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والنجم إذا هوى ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى. By the star when it descends, your companion, that is Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, has not strayed, nor has he erred, nor does he speak from his own inclination. It is not but a revelation revealed, taught to him by one intense in strength, meaning Angel Jibreel alayhi salam. one of the psalmists, and he rose to his true form, meaning Angel Jibreel alayhi salam came in his true form too, and there was only two occasions Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him in his true form. And one was in an early time when the revelation started coming. When he looked up, he saw the horizon was covered with the wings of Angel Jibreel alayhi salam, even though only two of the wings were open at the time, and they were so huge that it covered up the horizon. Imagine if he has all the wings open. Do you know how many wings did he have? He had 6,000 wings, right? And only 600 wings, or 6,000, I'm sorry, I forgot. So basically, just ignore that part. At the time, only two were open, and it was covered, the horizon was covered. So what do we learn here? We learn here that this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, angels are huge. Do you want to see them in reality? Let's make intention right now. Let's make dua. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once we go to Jannah, I want to see the angels too. So when he was in the higher part of the horizon, who? Jibreel alayhi salam. Then he approached and descended, and he came down and was at a distance of 2 bow lengths or nearer. And he revealed to his servant, and he revealed, that is conveyed, this Quran, the heart. The heart did not lie about what it saw. Meaning it was real. It is real. It is not fantasy we're learning here. And so will you dispute with him over what he saw? And he certainly saw him in another descent, and at the large tree of the utmost boundary. Near it is a garden of refuge, meaning the paradise. When there covered the large tree, that which covered it. This is where the Mi'raj happened. When Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went up, this was the second time he saw Angel Jibreel there. The sight of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not swerve, nor did it transgress its limit. He certainly saw the greatest sign of his Lord. Do we have any doubt about all these things? These are the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it happen. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can made it happen to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go and visit the heavens and the hill in while living in this dunya, don't you think that we, one day when we die, we're going to have to go and see all those? So which one do we want to see? So this is the question you and I can ask. He certainly saw of the greatest signs of his Lord. So have you considered Lat and Al-Uzza? Meaning, you still say that your gods is idols named Lat and Uzza? Even after hearing this story, amazing story of Prophet ascending up in the heavens, and Manat, the third, the other one, is the male for you and for him the female, that then is an unjust division. They are not but mere names. You have named them, you and your forefathers, for which Allah has sent down no authority. They follow not except assumptions and what their souls desire, and there has already come to them from their Lord guidance. Or is there for man whatever he wishes? Rather, to Allah belongs the hereafter and the first life. What did we learn in this paragraph? The journey of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the heavens, Mi'raj, and Abdullah bin Amr used to write every word of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. People used to say, oh, don't write it. What if he says something that is not correct? That maybe he's mad and he's upset and he says something which is not supposed to be written. Upon that, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, no, everything, that every word that comes out of my mouth is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, every word, everything that came from his mouth, it is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are three types of hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One, which he said his words. This is hadith. This is qawl, hadith qawli. And the second one is hadith fi'li, meaning whatever he did, it became hadith, it became sunnah, meaning he miswak, he used miswak, this became sunnah, and anything else and everything, whatever he did, it became sunnah. And the third is taqriri, meaning when he saw something, when he heard something, and he did not object it, he did not stop it, meaning it was an approval that it is okay. So this is called hadith taqriri. So what do we learn here? Whatever Prophet ﷺ said, Then meaning he went to the heavens, he went to the heavens. He went for the whole body, he went with the whole body. He saw the angel Jibril, he saw the angel Jibril. We're not to question. Who are we to question anything? And unnecessary curiosity weakens the iman. When people would ask questions, how does it look like? And is it real? And what is this? And this is not possible. And some people still to this day say that Prophet ﷺ just saw the dream. He didn't physically go up there. This is really weakens up the iman when you talk like that. When we learn in Quran and we learn so many ahadith that Prophet ﷺ went for real, this means that he went for real. Prophet ﷺ said he saw Jibreel as in his original form only twice. Jibreel ﷺ had 600 wings. Okay, now alhamdulillah, this is what I was confused about earlier. He had 600 wings with pearls and rubies and diamonds dripping from each wing. We cannot even imagine how beautiful this must be. Pearls dripping down. Can you imagine? He filled up the entire horizon and was seen sitting on a throne which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for him. The color of his wings and the soles of his feet were green. And this is in Masnad Ahmad and Tafsir Ibn Kathir. And Ibn Hatim also narrated this one. So what do we learn here? All these things may sound new to us, but it is all the reality Allah SWT has produced for us. And in the next paragraph, ayah number 26 to 32, assumptions or haq. In this paragraph, you'll see the comparison. People who just assume and talk about anything and everything on based on assumptions and what is the haq. Ayah number 26. And how many angels there are in the heavens whose intercession will not avail at all except only after Allah has permitted it to whom He wills and approves. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ لَيُسَمُّونَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ تَسْمِيَةَ الْأُنْثَى. Indeed, those who do not believe in the hereafter name the angels female names, and they have thereof no knowledge. They follow not except assumption, and indeed assumption avails not against the truth at all. Meaning, when it comes to deen, especially when it is somebody asks you a question, so what does it mean? Because now once you become a student of knowledge, people will ask questions. So if you don't know the answer, be very open. Say, I don't know, but I can find out for you. Never just pretend, yeah, it is true. See? So, alhamdulillah. And so turn away from whoever turns his back or on our message and desires not accept the worldly life. There, that is their sum of knowledge. Indeed, your Lord is most knowing of who strays from his way, and he is most knowing of who is guided. And to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth, that they may recompense those who do evil with the penalty of what they have done, and recompense those who do good with the best reward, those who avoid the major sins. Highlight this ayah, because in this we learn those who avoid the major sins and immoralities, only committing slight ones, meaning the minor sins. Indeed, your Lord is vast in forgiveness. This ayah is an ayah of hope. As long as we try hard to avoid all major sins, and if as a human being, as a weak human, if we commit smaller sins, Allah will forgive. Isn't that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We don't have to be scared. We don't have to be scared of this Quran. Oh my Allah, there are so many laws and regulations. What am I going to do? Do nothing. Just ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, you can make mistakes. It is okay to make mistakes. You know why? Because we're not angels. People do make mistakes. People will make mistakes. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am all forgiving. The minute a person makes a mistake, he realizes, he comes back to Allah. Allah has forgiven. And problem is when people make mistakes and they don't consider that is a mistake. That's when the problem is. As long as you're a believer with the khashi of Allah in the heart, you will make mistakes. Rest assured, it will happen. But as long as you come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything will be taken care of. So he was most knowing of you when he produces you from the earth and when you were fetuses in the wombs of your mother. So do not claim yourself to be pure. So, what do we learn in this paragraph? No guesswork in deen. Allah gives good reward. In ayah number 32, we learn about major sins. What are major sins? Major sins are sins, basically, which we learn from hadith, all the sins that have had, meaning there's a Sharia law that puts on place because of those major sins, like such as shirk, immorality, such as adultery. All these things comes under major sin. Alcohol, all these things. So, and the sagira, the minor sins are without any intention. You do it by mistake. You forgot about it. You missed it. And there is no had for it. And they are considered minor sins. So what should we do? We should try to save from all the sins. This doesn't give us a green signal. Go ahead and do the major sins and then you will be forgiven because Allah knows your intention. Yes, but yes, if by mistake, if you do it, you come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek knowledge. Don't live this life in the assumptions only. And ilm gives you confidence and it gives you know-how. It tells you right from wrong. This is why seeking ilm is important. And we are in Allah's custody all the time, right? When a child is given to a custody of a parent or foster parent, they're responsible for that. So we are responsible for our own deed because we're in the custody of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't you think we should follow his commands? So, inshallah, let's go to the next paragraph, ayah number 33 to 62. They are satisfied with little. Who are they? Ayah number 33. Have you seen the one who turned away? Have you seen the one who turned away and gave a little and then refrained? Meaning, people who do not give a lot, they give only little. And they give a little and then they refrain. Does he have knowledge of the unseen so he sees? Or has he not been informed what was in the scriptures of Musa and of the Ibrahim who fulfilled his obligation? Notice here, Allah SWT says about Ibrahim alayhi salam's quality and all these prophets. You know why? Because it seems like Allah SWT loves the prophets. Why? Because they live the life of the choice of Allah, not the choice of self. This is why Allah SWT over and over bring their zikr. You know why? Because when a mother, when she loves a child, especially the child that is away from her, she always brings her mention. Every now and then, when other kids are sitting, she says, yeah, but you know, my older daughter, she's doing this and she's doing that. She misses the child who's away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no example for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seems like he loves his prophet. This is why he mentioned, and no surah is complete without the mention of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Almost every surah we learn about him. Why? Because in this ayah, especially you see in ayah number 37, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wa Ibrahim alladhi waffa." This waffa, it's a very beautiful word. Waffa means the one who fulfills all the obligations, or fulfill every alfa, every ahad that he made, everything that was told to him, he did that. Meaning he was always there. He never turned his back against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never said no to anything. He was never lazy. He never procrastinated. He did wafa. He did wafa to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, he devoted himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his name with so much love. And here we can all check ourselves. You know, if we want to do wafa with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it. You know why? Because when people do deeds with sincerity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts these deeds. So that that no bearer of burdens will bear the burden of another, and that there is not for man except that good for which he strives, and that he his effort is going to be seen. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not waste anything. Then he will be recompensed from it with the fullest recompense. And that to your Lord is the finality. And that is, it is he who make one laugh and weep. Who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa innahu huwa adhaka wa abka. And that is it. He who causes death and gives life, and that he creates the two mates, the male and the female, and from a sperm drop when it is emitted. Allah SWT is asking, think about it, when the sperm drop was emitted, and then the incumbent upon him is the other, that is next creation, a creation who started with a disdain drop, and then when he became a creation, they turn away. And that is he who enriches and suffices. And that is he who is the Lord of the serious. Ashur Shira, and that he destroyed the first people of Ad and Thamud, and he did not spare them, and the people of Nuh before. Indeed, it was they who were even more unjust and oppressing, and the overturned towns he hurled down, and covered them by that which he covered. Then, which of the favors of your Lord do you doubt? This prophet is a warner from that is like the former warners, and approaching the day has approached, or it from that from those besides Allah, there is no remover. Then, as it this statement, do you wonder, and you laugh and do not weep, while you are proudly sporting? So prostrate to Allah and worship Him alone. What did we learn in this paragraph? Fulfill the obligation that we have. Being a believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live a life with limits. You know why? So we can live the life limitless in the hereafter. If we choose to live the life without the limit in this world, then we're going to be restricted there. May Allah save us from that. And pass on your sincere lifestyle to your kids. Because when you do wafa to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pass on this information for you to your kids. Because they are reciprocator. They see your lifestyle. They copy you. You are their role model, right? And do not praise people on the face. You know why? Because when you praise someone on their face, it makes them really proud and it makes them feel arrogant. So when you want to praise somebody, praise it behind their back and appreciate them and their effort. But when you praise on the face, mashallah, you're so good, the next thing shaitan does is put some kind of arrogance in their heart. A man praised another man in the presence of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, woe to you, you have cut off your companion's neck. This is how serious it is. He repeated, this is a number of time. It is necessary for one of you to praise his companion, then say, I believe him to be as such. And Allah is a reckoner over him. And I do not praise anyone over Allah. I believe him to be like such and such. If one knows such about that person, be true. And this is in Abu Dawud. So it's important that we are careful about that. And next surah is Surah Qamar. Surah Qamar is also a very beautiful surah. Let's listen to the recitation of first couple of ayahs and then we'll continue with the tafsir of the surah. And Qamar is what? Qamar is moon, right? Different stages of Qamar, different moon crescent. Sometimes it's called Hilal, sometimes it's called Badr, sometimes it's called Qamar. It depends on what stage of the moon Allah SWT is talking about.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر وإن يروا آية يعرضوا ويقولوا سحر مستمر وكذبوا واتبعوا أهواءهم وكل أمر مستقر ولقد جاءهم من الأنباء ما فيه مزدجر.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سورة القمر اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. The hour has come near and the moon has split. In this paragraph, ayah number 1 to 22, we're learning, is there anyone who remember, meaning seek advice? We learn here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving advice and people don't take it. So we can ask this question to ourselves, that is there anyone who can remember and get advice? And in this surah, we learn this ayah, repetition of one of the ayah many times. I want you to count how many times you come up with in this after we're done. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly telling this ayah, is there anyone who can remember? Is there anyone who can take advice? So, the hour has come near, the moon has split in two, and if they see a sign, that is miracle, they turn away and say, passing magic. This was a miracle given to Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they denied and followed their inclination, but for every matter is a time of settlement. And there has already come to them of information in which there is a deterrence. Extensive wisdom, but warning does not avail them. So lead them, O Prophet. The day the caller called to something forbidden, their eyes humble, they will emerge from their graves as if they were locusts spreading. If people don't wake up for Allah in this dunya, they will eventually have to wake up in the akhirah. They will have no choice and they will be humiliated and humbled. And from the grave, they will be like locusts spreading. Imagine locusts. Locusts has no insignificance. It is a very tiny insect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that people will be waking up like that. Racing ahead towards the caller. Why? Because the call will be so strong that nobody will be able to deny it or ignore it. The disbelievers will say, this is a difficult day. Can you imagine? Today, we take the disbelieving friends as if there's nothing wrong with them. We are happy to meet them. Make sure, if you have a friend who is disbeliever, talk to them. Let them know what Islam is. By your actions, by your words, entice them, encourage them to learn about Islam, about the Jannah, about the good things, about the treatment of the parents, and about the things that are really good, about divorce, marriage laws, and the keeping the Lord, the eyes gazing laws. All these laws will attract them. This will bring them. Instead of saying Islam is this, Islam is that, show them that, you know what, Muslim men are supposed to be very loyal to their wives. And stuff like that will encourage them, because, you know, they will be in regrets on that day. And don't you want to save them? So the people of the Nuh denied before them, and they denied our servant and said, a madman, and he was repelled. So he invoked his Lord, indeed, I am overpowered, so help. Then we opened the gates of the heavens with rain pouring down and caused the earth to burst with springs, and the waters met for a matter already predestined. And we carried him on a construction of planks and nails, the Ark of Nuh alayhi salam, sailing under our observation as reward for he who had been denied. You know, when people do things under the observation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what it means is under the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, within the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in that work. No, maybe the work is not that great, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible and that it becomes good. So when we do things according to our liking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away the barakah from that thing. And no matter how good of a planning you do, things go under. So what we learn here for ourselves is that whatever you and I do, even the cooking food, even something simple as doing laundry, include Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make this task easy for me, make the task quick for me, make this task a cinch for me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it happen for you. And we left it as a sign. So is there any who will remember? Notice here. وَلَقَدْ تَرَكْنَاهَا أَيَّ آيَةٌ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُتَّكِرٍ. This fahal mein muddakir will come so many times. And you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word muddakir. Muddakir is like a tazakkur of Allah's ayahs. Tazakkur is much easier than doing a tadabbur, meaning pondering. What it means is that when you think about the ayahs, this is what dhikr. When you mention the ayah, this is what dhikr is, tadakkur, muddakir is. And when you actually think deeper, go into another level and see far behind what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that is tadabbur. And that is the next level. Once we actually acquaint ourselves with the tadabbur, then we will reach the level of tadabbur, inshallah. Let's make intention right now that we can do that. And how severe were my punishment and warning. And we have certainly made the Quran easy for remembrance. So is there anyone who will remember? فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. And denied, and how severe were my punishment and warning. Indeed, we sent upon them a screaming wind on a day of continuous misfortune, extracting the people as they were trunks of the palm trees uprooted. Have you ever seen any picture of some kind of an aftermath of the storm? You see the trees lying down. This happened right here where I live a few years back, and the trees were uprooted here and there, everywhere. And the amazing sight was that the trees that appeared to be very thick and strong and really powerful, they're the ones, some of them were uprooted. And the tiny trees that were next to them, they were still standing. This is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uproots anybody, and Allah ta'ala gives the firmness to anybody. It has nothing to do with the physical physique of a person or a tree. It is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to think do dhikr about all these things, and denied, and how severe for my punishment and warning. Indeed, we send down upon them screaming wind on a day of continuous misfortune, extracting the people as if they were trunks of palm trees uprooted. And how severe were my punishment and warning. And we have certainly made the Quran easy for remembrance. So is there anyone who will remember? Fahal min muttakir. Thamud denied the warning and said, basically, in this first paragraph, ayah number 1 to 22, we learn that people will come out of their graves. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam don't get the honor, and all other prophets either. They didn't get the honor in this dunya and the respect they deserve. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them honor on the day of judgment to do intercession on behalf of people. And this decision will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the honor will be given to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and prophets. So, and there are levels of understanding Quran, and there are level of iman. So this tadakkur that we're talking about is basically a level that is easy to come, everybody can do it. And then there's the level of tadabbur comes, that is which comes with the higher level of iman. Once you read the level of tadakkur, then the level of tadabbur comes, and tadakkur is easier than tadabbur. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Quran was sent down in 7 ahroor, meaning when Quran revealed, it came in 7 different tarteel. There's 7 different dialects of Quran, you may say, that because people were from different areas and they would recite it in a little bit different manner. This is why today we see 7 different types of recitation exist. Ayah number 23 to 40, nations in the code of law. Thamud denied the warning and said, is it one human being among us that we should follow? Indeed, we would not then be in error and madness. Has the message been sent down upon him from among us? Rather, he is an insolent liar. They will know tomorrow who is the insolent liar. And indeed, we are sending the she-camel as a trial for them. So watch them and be patient, and inform them that the water is shared between them each day of drink, attended by turn. But they called their companions, and they dared and hamstrung her. And how severe were my punishment and warning. Indeed, we sent down them a shriek, that is a blast from the sky, and they became like the dry twig, fragments of an animal pen. Can you imagine? This is the punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we're learning about. My question is, when we learn about these punishments, does something happen to our heart, or we are so immune learning them? We think that, yeah, so what, it happened to them, but we are saved. Isn't that what shaitan makes us think so? This punishment was for them, not for us. Why do we think like that? Did you ever wonder? Because sometimes people don't take ayahs of the Quran seriously, and that's how they started thinking. And when we certainly made the Quran easy for remembrance, فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرْ? And is there anyone who will remember? The people of Lut denied the warning. And indeed, we send upon them a storm of stones, except the family of Lut. We save them before dawn as favor from us. Thus we do reward. He was grateful. May Allah make us grateful. May Allah save all of us from the great torments. And he had already warned them of our assault, but they disputed the warning. And they had demanded from him his guests, but we obliterated their eyes, saying, taste my punishment and warning. And there came upon them by morning an abiding punishment. So taste my punishment and warning. And we have certainly made the Quran easy for remembrance. So فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرْ? So is there anyone who will remember? Over and over, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you and I invitation. Is there anyone who can do tadakkur on this Quran? Is there anyone who can think about this Quran? Is there anyone who can take lessons from all these ayahs? So, what did we learn here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this Quran easy. We just have to seek advice from it. We just have to come back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, once you step in, I will come forward. We have just learned the Hadith al-Qudsi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you come to me one step, I will come to you more than that. So this is how the Quran becomes easy. And one of the person, a child, he was memorizing the Quran, and he said, you know what? When he is having hard time memorizing it, when he's not getting it, that's when he realizes that he's not doing enough. So he said, the minute I change my mindset, when I try to do more and more and more, the faster it comes. Meaning, when you, in the beginning, when your heart is not there, you maybe do a little bit and you get tired. But once you get into this journey of Quran, and you do more and more, you indulge yourself more. The more you indulge, the more you like it, the more easy it becomes. And this is an experience you can ask to any student of knowledge. Ayah number 41 to 60, they got it made. Meaning, and ayah number 41, we learn, and there certainly came to the people of Pharaoh warning. They denied our signs, all of them. So we seized them with the seizure of an exalted in might and the perfect in ability. Are your disbelievers better than those former ones? Or have you immunity in the scriptures? Or do they say, we are in assembly supporting each other? Their assembly will be defeated, and they will turn their backs in the retreat. But the hour in their appointment for due punishment and for the hour is more disastrous and more bitter. Indeed, the criminal in error and madness. And the day they are dragged into the fire on their faces, it will be said, taste the touch of the supper. And indeed, all things we created with a predestination, and our command is but one, like a glance of the eye, and we have already destroyed your kind. So is there any who will remember? And everything they did is a written record, and every small and great things is inscribed. Indeed, the righteous will be among gardens and rivers, in a seat of honor, near a sovereign, perfect in ability. Surah Rahman is a beautiful surah. Let's listen to the recitation of first few ayahs. There's so much rhythm in it. Before we listen to the recitation, just to listen to this hadith of Tirmidhi 3291. Jabir radiallahu anhu said, the messenger of Allah came out to his companion and recited Surah Rahman from its beginning to its end for them, and they were silent. So he said, I recited it to the jinn on the night of the jinns, and they had better response to it than you did. Each time I came up the ayah Allah saying, which of your Lord's favor do you deny? They said, we do not deny any favor of yours, our Lord, and yours is praise. Meaning, while listening to the recitation of this surah, and inshallah when we're learning, every time you come up with this ayah, that which of the favors we will deny, you should say none. We do not deny any favors, because this is the response of the jinn, and Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved it. So inshallah, with that mindset, we will listen to the Surah Rahman first few ayahs.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ar-Rahman. Allam al-Qur'an. خلق الإنسان علمه البيان الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Ayah 1-25. Allah is Khalik, and Allah is Khalaq and speaking ability. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the speaking ability, which is a great blessing. And we use it and abuse it and misuse it. So today we will learn, inshallah, the mindset that we need to worry about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to talk. How are we going to use it? Ar-Rahman, Allam al-Quran, Khalaq al-Insana, Allamahu al-Bayan. The Most Merciful taught the Quran, created man, and taught him eloquence. This ability to talk is only human that are given. Imagine if all these animals, do they have the ability to talk like we do? Do they have the ability to express yourself the way we do? Do they have the ability to get your point across? They don't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this ability to talk is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use it in your favor. Use it to express the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use it to define the ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use it to describe the nature in favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the quality that is mostly abused. People use this ability to talk and they do curse and they do all kinds of evil with this thing. Next time, when you feel like gossiping, when you feel like doing something that is ill, then think about it. What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away this ability to talk? What if I cannot express myself? What if I say something and people understand something else? What if I say something positive and people still take it negative? What if I say something that is true and people still don't believe it? Right? So we have to be very, very grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this talk ability to talk eloquently. Animals do communicate for their needs and whatever they need to, but they don't have this eloquence to get across their point, to get across the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to others. This is us only. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this human being, they don't really take this quality as a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sun and the moon move by precise and by precise calculation, and the stars and the trees prostrate, and the heavens he raised, and impose the balance that you do not transgress within the balance, and establish weight in justice, and do not make deficient the balance. And the earth is laid out for the creatures. Therein is fruit and palm trees, having sheaths of date, and grain having husks and scented plants. So, which of the favors of your Lord would you deny? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ What do we say? We do not deny any favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not deny anything. He created man from clay, like that of pottery, and he created the jinn from the smokeless flame of fire. So, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ He is Lord of the two sunrises and the Lord of the sunsets. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ He released the two seas, meeting one another. Between them is a barrier, so neither of them transgresses. Isn't that a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How is it that two liquids don't get into each other? And فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ From both of them emerge pearls and coral. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ And to him belongs the ships with sails elevated in the sea like mountains. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ What did we learn in this paragraph? Ability to speak is a gift and favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Value it, be grateful, and be careful. Each fruit is packed so beautifully. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these fruits. Think about the orange. All the tiny drops of orange are packed individually. Can you imagine? Can any juice maker do that? That pack each and every drop of juice in a separate packaging? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the pomegranate. Every drop, a red, beautiful drop, is separated by the covering. How is it possible? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that. This is what mutakkil is. This is what tadakkur is, right? And tadabbur is two rivers together yet do not get mixed. One is dense and one is lighter. And the pearls comes from the sea. Aisha radiallahu anha reported that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the angels were born out of light and the jinn were born out of the spark of the fire and Adam was born as he been defined in Quran for you, that is fashioned out of clay. So, what is the origin of angels? The nur. Origin of jinn? The fire. Origin of human? The clay. This is in Muslim 2996. Ayah number 26 to 45. We must let go. Everything must go. And we have to go. 26, ayah number 26, we learn. Everyone upon it, that is the earth, will perish. Kullu man alayha fan. For this ayah, if we think that we're going to perish one day from here, then why have we have accumulation of things in our closet? If you go visit your closet, you'll be surprised. If you try to put things together and just try to calculate how much stuff do you have. You, beyond your imagination, you have more than what you think you have. Try to calculate all the dishes you have. You have more than what you think you have, and everything must go. People die all of a sudden sometimes, and they leave the burden for their family to clean up after them. So take care of your stuff. Leave the stuff that is needed, yes, of course, but anything extra donated, because nothing will stay. You and I will not be there tomorrow, and there will remain the face of your Lord. وَيَبَقَ وَجْهَهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Highlight this ayah. This ayah feels the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gives you the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Whoever is within the heavens and earth, ask him every day he is in that is bringing about a matter. So, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. We will attend to you, O prominent beings. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. O company of jinn and mankind, if you're able to pass beyond the regions of the heavens and the earth, then pass. You will not pass except by authority from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Human being, when they transgress, they don't think that they are doing it inside the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you want to do the transgression, go outside, outskirts of this earth and heavens, and do it somewhere which doesn't belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no such thing. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. They will be sent upon you a flame of fire and smoke, and you will not defend yourself. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. And when the heaven is split open and becomes rose colored like oil. And today the Hubble telescope has sent a picture and they said it looks like a rose, split rose, the way it's right described in this ayah. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny? Then on the day none will be asked about his sin among men or jinn. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. The criminals will be known by their marks and they will be seized by the forelocks of the feet. So, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. This is hell, which the criminals deny. They will circulate between it and scalding water, heated to the utmost degree. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. What do we learn here? Everything has to go. We all must go. Allah takes care of so many issues all at once. And we, on the other hand, think we are so good. We can do this and we can do that. Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, He's taking care of all the matters in the world, whether it's living being, a non-living being, or the humans, some getting married, some have to die, some have to live, some have to give the birth to the baby and the fate of the child and So many things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simultaneously takes care of. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how many of favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can we deny? And sinners will recognize by their appearance. Their appearance that will be visible that they are the sinners. And ayah number 46 to 78, we learn the reward for good is good. Hal jaza'ul ihsani illa illa al-ihsan. Is there a reward for good, anything but good? This is the mindset we should have. So it will really make us give the mindset to become a muhsin. Ayah number 46. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. But for he who has feared the position of his Lord are two gardens. So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny? Having spreading branches. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. In both of them are two springs flowing. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. In both of them are every fruit, two kinds. So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny? They are reclining on beds whose lining are of silk brocade, and the fruit of the two gardens is hanging low. So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny? In them are women limiting their glances, untouched before them by men or jinn. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. As if they were rubies and coral. So فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. And هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Is there a reward for good, anything but good? Meaning, what stops you from doing good? Because the doing good only comes back in a good way. And فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان؟ And below them both in excellence are two other gardens. So, فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان؟ Dark green in color. فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان؟ In both of them are two springs starting. So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny? In both of them are fruit and palm trees and pomegranates. So, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ In them are good and beneficial, beautiful women. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny? Fair ones reserved in pavilions. So, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ Untouched before them by men or jinn. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ Reclining on green cushions and beautiful fine carpets. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ تَبَارَكَ اسْمُ رَبِّكَ ذِي الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ Blessed is the name of your Lord, owner of the majesty and honor. It seems like Allah SWT is talking about so many jannas here. Right? I wonder how many jannas are there and how beautiful each jannah would be and which jannah do we want to go. We should plan for this thing. You know, in this dunya, when we decide for college education, we look for different colleges and universities. What kind of education do they offer? What kind of reputation do they have? What kind of degree do they provide? And what kind of success rate do they provide for our kids? When it comes to jannah, why can't we develop a mindset? Which jannah do I want? Whether it's Jannat al-Firdaus, or whether it's Jannat al-Adn, or whether Jannat al-Na'im, and what Jannat any other jannah. There's so much information available out there for us to find out what jannahs are, and how are they made, and what is the description of it. They're all in hadith. So we need to take time out, inshallah, to learn about all these things. So the lesson we learn from this surah is that, count your blessings. Biggest lesson we learn from this surah is that count your blessings and goodness come back to you. Whatever you do good, never feel despair that, oh, my efforts are wasted, because Allah never let go of any effort. And many jannahs are already prepared for us. Never ending springs they have, and fruits of jannah will taste very different from the fruits of this dunya, and good manners partners will be given, and Allah's name is full of blessings and honor. Allah made four things from his own, and one of them is Jannat al-Adn. He made it by his own hands. Narrated Abdullah bin Qais, Allah's messenger said, two gardens, the utensils of the countenance, and the contents of which are of silver, and two other gardens, the utensils and contents of that which are gold. And nothing will prevent the people who will be in the gardens of Eden from seeing either their Lord except the curtain of majesty over his face. How beautiful this scene must be. In this dunya, people cannot even afford gold and silver this freely. Allah SWT is saying, if you live the life of limits in this dunya and a life of gratitude, I will give you all this for free. This is in Bukhari 4878. Now, and another slide that you see, if a hur from the paradise appeared to the people of the earth, she would fill the space between the heavens and the earth with light and pleasant scent, and her head cover is better than the world and whatever is in it. Imagine here, even they have head cover there, and why can't we have head cover here? And then is next is Surah Waqia, which is an amazing surah. In one narration, we learn about this, that the Prophet ﷺ named all the chapters and said, it is the surahs like Surah Hud, Surah Waqia, Surah Mursalat, Surah Naba, and Surah Takwir, which have made me grow old. Surah Waqia is a serious surah. Let's learn to this Surah Waqia. Ayah number 1 to 38, we learn three different outcomes of three different group of people. What are they? بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا وقعت الواقعة When the occurrence occur, there is at its occurrence no denial, which is that the day of judgment. It will bring down some and raise up others, meaning who will rise up in this dunya, they will be under, and who are lower in this dunya, they will be raised up. When the earth is shaken with convulsion and the mountains are broken down, crumbling. Can you imagine these huge mountains will be crumbling and become dust dispersing, and you become of their of three kinds. Then the companions of the right, what are the companions of the right? Notice this is the first kind, companions who will be on the right side. And the companions of the left, what are the companions of the left? These are the one who will be on the left side. And the forerunners, the forerunners. These are the one who's going to be right in front, the elite class, the reserve class, the highest ticket, the best seat, the best view. Who will have this? The one who are forerunners, the one who run in this dunya for the good deeds, the one who live the life above and beyond the normal people, above and beyond the normal Muslim iman level. They excel, they accelerate in their iman and their activities. They are the one who's going to make it. Those are the ones brought near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ula'ika al-muqarrabun. Question, if we want to be al-muqarrabun, who are the nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have to strive for it now, because we are given exactly what we deserve. In the gardens of pleasure, a large company of the former people and a few of the latter people, on thrones woven with ornament, reclining on them facing each other, they will circulate among them young boys made eternal, with vessels, pitchers, and a cup of wine from a flowing spring. No headache will they have their form, nor will they be intoxicated, and fruits of what they select. Meaning, if you don't like any food, you will not be forced to eat it. But there will be nothing in the Jannah that you won't like. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make everything according to your liking. And for them are fair women with large beautiful eyes, the likeness of pearl, well protected, as reward for what they used to do. They will not hear their ill speech or commission of sin, only a saying of peace, peace. Illa qilan salaman salama. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us ability to stay in peace here and say only peace. We do not hurt anybody from our tongues. The companions of the right, what are the companions of the right? They will be among the lot trees with thorns removed, and banana trees layered with fruit and shade extended. Meaning, there's two levels we're talking about, right? The one who's elite class, the one who do above and beyond in serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will make it to the front. And the one who stays on a basic level of iman, but they are good people, they do the application, they will be on the right side. And for them are banana trees layered with fruit and shade extended, and water poured out. How beautiful imagery it's making in your head, isn't it? And fruit abundant and varied, neither limited to season nor forbidden, and upon beds raised high. Indeed, we have produced them, that is the women of the paradise, in a new creation. Meaning, all of us will be newly created and the beautiful. And made them virgins, devoted to their husband, and of equal age. Meaning there will be no old person there. Everybody will be young there, and the husband and wife will have the compatibility. They will have the same age. And for the companions of the right who are. So what do we learn here? Three groups of people will be there in different outcomes of them. Meaning whatever they did in this dunya, this is how they will be. And live for others, not only for selves. Because the front runners, the forerunners are the ones who live for others. They don't only worry about satisfying themselves and worrying about only themselves. They're the ones who do good for others, who are running for others. For firru ilallah, they're the ones who will make it as sabiqun al-awwalun. And no one will be old. In Jannah, there was an old woman came, and she said to Prophet ﷺ, I want to enter Jannah. Prophet ﷺ said, no old person will be there. She got so sad and she left. Prophet ﷺ said, tell her that she will be made young before she can enter. How beautiful. There will be no wrinkles there. And right hand are the one who are salihin. They are good people. They're good practicing Muslims. But the front row ones are the ones that they live their life serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His creation. They are the ones who are always helping others and helping the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what they consider their full-time job. And the left-hand side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. They will be for the believer who are this, they will be on this left side and they will be outside. They won't even come in. And this is for disbelievers. Ayah number 39 to 74, opposite picture. What are they? A company of the former people and a company of the latter people, and the companions of the left with what are the companions of the left? They will be in scorching fire and scalding water and a shade of a black smoke, neither cool nor beneficial. Indeed, they were before that indulging in affluence, mutrafin, meaning they were busy using and enjoying the favors of this dunya and the wealth of this dunya, and they used to persist in the great violation, and they used to say, which we die, when we die and become dust and bones, are we indeed to be resurrected? And our forefathers as well, say, O Prophet, indeed the former and the latter people are to be gathered together for the appointment of the day. Then indeed you, O those who stray, who are deniers, will be eating from trees of Zakum. How terrible this must be, and filling with it your bellies, and drinking on top of it from scalding water, and will drink as the drinking of thirsty camels, meaning even the water will be so boiling it will burn their tongue, but they will still drink it because they will be so thirsty, and the thirst will never quench, meaning this water will never be able to quench their thirst. That is their commendation on the day of recompense. We have created you, so why do you not believe? Asking a question. نَحْنُ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ فَلَوْلَا تَصَدِّقُونَ. Why do you not believe? Have you seen that which you emit? It is you who create it, meaning the semen drop that is dropped. You do it, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how can you say that you are the one who is everything? Is that you who creates it, or we are the creator? We have decreed death among you, and we are not to beat or outdone. In that, we will change your likeness and produce you in the form which you do not know. And you have already known the first creation, so will you not remember? And have you seen that seed which you sow? Is it you who makes it grow, or are we the grower? If you willed, we could make it dry, debris, and you would remain in wonder, saying, indeed, we are now in debt, rather, we have deprived. And have you seen the water that you drink? Try to pay attention to the glass of water when you drink during iftar time. This water itself is an amazing thing. It quenches your thirst. It satisfies you. It nourishes your body. And yet it is calorie free. It is taste free. So nobody can say, I don't like this taste. Amazing. And it is color free. So nobody can say, I don't like this color. And it's texture free. So nobody can say, I don't like this texture. Water itself is just enough to ponder upon. Is it you who brought it down from the clouds, or is it we who bring it down? If we willed, we could make it bitter. So why are you not grateful? And have you seen the fire that you ignite? Is it you who produce its tree, or are we the producer? We have made it a reminder and provisions for the travelers. So exalt the name of your Lord, the Most Great. Then I swear by the setting of the stars, and indeed it is an oath. If you could know, Most Great, indeed, it is a noble Quran. Innahu la Quranun Kareem. Is it really? Are you enjoying it? Say Alhamdulillah if you're enjoying it. In a register, well protected. None touch it except the purified, that is the angel. It is a revelation from the Lord of the worlds. Then, is it to this statement that you are indifferent? And make the thanks for your provision that you deny the provider? Then why, when this is when that is a soul at death, reaches the throat, and you are at the time looking on, and we, that is our angels, are nearer to him than you, but you do not see, then why do you not, if you are not to be recompensed, bring it back if you should be truthful? And if you, that is the deceased, was of those brought near to Allah, then for him is a rest and bounty and a garden of pleasure. And if he was the companion of the right, then the angels will say, peace upon you. You are from the companions of the right. But if it was of the deniers who were strayed, then for him the accommodation of scalding water and the burning in hellfire. Indeed, this is the true certainty. So exalt the name of your Lord, the Most Great. For some people, Bismi Rabbikal Azim. This surah gives us a mindset. What do we want? Which group do we want to belong in? To ponder upon this, inshallah. Next surah is Surah Al-Hadid. Surah Al-Hadid is a surah that really opens up your heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you in such a way in this surah. Inshallah, once you learn this surah in detail, if you join the course, you will really, truly love this surah, Surah Al-Hadid. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبح لله ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم Whatever is in the heavens and earth exalts Allah. Should we exalt Allah too, if everything else is doing so? And He is the exalted in might the wise. He is the dominion of the heavens and earth. He gives lives and causes death. And He is over all things competent. There is nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot do. He is the first and He is the last. هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ الْآخِرُ وَالْظَاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ All these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should fill our hearts with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is He who created the heavens and earth in 6 days and then established Himself above the throne. He knows what penetrates into the earth and what emerges from it and what descends from the earth and what ascends therein. And He is with you wherever you are, and Allah of what you do is seeing. He is the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and to Allah are returned all matters. So what do we learn in here? To Allah returns all matters. So don't dispute about anything. So in this, believe in Allah. Sorry. He causes a night to enter the day and causes a day to enter the night. And He is not knowing of that within the breast. Believe in Allah and His messenger and spend out of that in which He had made you successive inheritors. For those who have believed among you and spend. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying what? For those who have believed among you and spend, there will be a great reward. For them is lahum ajrun kabir. Meaning spend where? Spend for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People are not very open when it comes to spending on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying for them is ajrun kabir. And why do you not believe in Allah while the messenger invites you to believe in your Lord and He has taken you your covenant if you should truly be believers? Notice here this ayah number 8. وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ Meaning, Allah SWT is talking to believer here that you are a believer, then why don't you believe? Meaning, whatever Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying and inviting you to give, why don't you give? Why don't you have belief that whatever you give it, you'll get back of it? And Allah SWT will multiply it. Why people become so stingy when it comes to giving in the way of Allah SWT? And He has taken your covenant if you should truly be believers? Meaning, if you are true believers, then you should open up your heart. Why is it so hard for you? Why you become so stingy and stick to the earth and hold on to your wealth? It is He who sends down upon His servant, Prophet ﷺ, verses of clear evidence that He may bring you out from darkness into the light. And indeed, Allah is to you kind and merciful. And why do you not spend in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us, وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تُنْفِقُوا Why do you not spend in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while to Allah belongs the heritage of the heavens and the earth? Meaning, everything that you own belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anyway, because to Allah belongs everything on the heavens and the earth. Not equal among you are those who spent before the conquest of Makkah and fought for that, and those who did so after that. People who spent before the conquest of Makkah were the true believers. You know why? Because they didn't see any success. When the time was there, when the money was needed the most, that's when people spend, that is most like to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When people spend money, when the deen is already established, when the Makkah was already conquered and people already saw the success of Islam, that's when you spend, it has lesser of a value. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us here something very important. Today we live in the time era that Islam really needs our money. We need to spend money to establish Islam. We need money, our money to make these Quranic institutions popping up like a lollipop everywhere, every corner. Why? Because we need to educate people. We need to develop school system. We need to hire big scholars, people who can go into public school systems and teach Quran. We need to really prepare a team who can really bring the changes, and all this thing requires money. Today, media is in the hands of Jews. They are the ones who are controlling the mindset of the people. Where are Muslims? Why are not they spending money to control the media? Why don't they have their own media to really change the mindset of the people about the beauty of Islam? Where are those TV channels that can really change the mindset of the people? Where is the money that can come up, people give, that they can do all this stuff? Where are the Quranic education centers, which are so beautiful, shiny, beautiful, that people are attracted to come? Hey, what are you doing? What are you teaching here? Where is the system of education where people would come and really learn Quran, but because of the love of it, because they are very well organized and very well mannered and very well displaying this stuff? Where are those quality supplies that Muslims should be distributing to attract non-Muslims? Where are those things which can give the message of Islam in abundance? Where are those billboards in abundance everywhere that teaches us that this is what Islam is? This is what we are learning in this ayah, ayah number 10. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who are greater in degree than they who spend afterwards in fraud, meaning the need of the hour. But to all, Allah has promised the best reward, and Allah of what you do is aware. So what did we learn in this paragraph? Let's spend. Let's spend now. Because if we leave the money and take it with us, what are we going to take? Nothing. And we leave it for the heirs. What are they going to do? They can earn their own money. So what good is the extra money that is sitting in our banks? Why can't we empty the banks? Why can't? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's a promise of Allah. If you give, I will give you more. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching everything, the intentions, the mindset we have. All matters have to return to Allah anyway. Allah knows what's inside the breasts. And Allah gave you, and Allah can give you back, and you have to give back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, they say when you live in somewhere, but give back to the community. When you get education from one of the school, give back to the same school, so that other people can benefit. If you are benefiting from something, give to that institution. Why? Because then you have to give back, because they are the one who is giving you. Through them, you are learning the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And why don't we imagine a picture that a huge, beautiful glass building with a nice, huge atrium where the Quranic classes are taught? Why is it our mindset that we're okay with the basic quality masajid and institutions? Why can't Islamic students, institutions be state of the art? Why can't be the marble of the decoration building marbles? Why? Because this thing can happen when people give in the way of Islam, to educate people about Islam, to spread the knowledge of Quran. The question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked in this paragraph, that why don't you spend, that was ayah number 10, and spend on deen now, or it will be too late. And need of the hour is to spend now. And next is 11 to 19, the noor of the believer. This ayah is about the bridge of Sirat. So when we do spending here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying a true believer will have the noor, the light that will emit from their body. Consider yourself as a light. Every time you do some good deed, a light enters your body and you're storing it. You know, they say you buy a hard drive to store extra material from your computer and your disk is getting full, your RAM is full, and you need to offload it to the the thing that you can store stuff in. So think of yourself. Every time you give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're storing something. You're storing a light. And this light will emit on the day of judgment when there will be no light. And the believers will have different level of light. Some believers will have only light that they can see just up to their toe. Some believers have a light emitting as far as the eyes can see. And at this time, munafiq, people who did not give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're the one who's going to be asking with the believers, hey, please stop, give me some light. Try to imagine this imagery as we go through these ayahs, inshallah. Ayah number 11, man zalladhi yuqridullahu qardan, man zalladhi yuqridullahu qardan hasana, who is it that would loan Allah a goodly loan? So he will multiply it. He will multiply it for him and he will have a noble reward. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking loan here. Do you know why? Because the word loan tells us that the loan will be returned. Loan has to be returned. In other words, it's the assurance that Allah is giving. If you spend even a penny in a way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it back to you. So what is it that stops people from giving? What is it that tells them? You know why? Because people are unaware of the importance of giving. People are not attached to this Quran. They have no idea that the whatever they have, everything they have, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why are they hoarding it? They have no idea. And on the day you see the believing men and believing women and their light proceeding before them, and on their right it will be said, your good tidings today are of garden beneath which river flows, wherein you will abide eternally. That is what the great attainment. What do we learn in this ayah? The light of the believers will be preceding him, meaning he will be able to see the way through the light that they have stored in this dunya, through their good deed, through their spending, through their obligations fulfilling, and through their attitude of faqiru ilallah. They are the one who have emitting light that will be going far, far away. So you and I can take a moment here and think about when we will be going through Bridge of Sirat, what kind of light system we have. Are we satisfied with the night light? Or are we satisfied with 60 watts bulb or 40 watts bulb? Or do we want to go for a searchlight or spotlight, that the light that lit up the whole sports ground? Today we see some of the playground, the sports field, sporting fields have so much light that even at night it appears to be daylight. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us something. What kind of light do you want? Because on a day of judgment, believing men and believing women, their light proceeding before them, and on their right, it will be said, your good tidings today are of gardens beneath which river flows, wherein you will abide eternally. That is what it's the great attainment. On the same day, hypocrites men and hypocrites women will say to those who believe, wait for us. And that wait for us that we may acquire some of your light. You know why? Because they won't have any light. You know why? Because they didn't stand in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya. Do you know why? Because the iman didn't enter in their heart fully. It will be said, go back behind you. Can you imagine? May Allah save us from hearing this sentence. And seek light. And a wall will be placed. And when they will go back, guess what's going to happen? And a wall will be placed between them with a door, its interior containing mercy, while on the outside of it, it's torment. Meaning the people of the believers and the believers and the munafiqeen will be separated by this wall. And the people who are inside the believer, they will be enjoying. They will have the light and everything. And the munafiqeen will stay outside behind the wall and they will not have anything. Can you imagine? If we don't open up our heart in this dunya to give for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we maybe end up in the light, not the lighted area. So this is something really need to ponder upon. What kind of ending do we want? What kind of light do we want? And what kind of light we are preparing for? So it's interior, and a wall will be placed between them with the door, its interior containing mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while on the outside of it is torment. That is the hypocrites will call to them, that is the believers, were we not with you? Meaning in this dunya, they will say, we were with you, right? They will say, yes, but you afflicted yourself and awaited misfortune for us, and doubted and wishful thinking deluded you, meaning you were too busy enjoying the life. You didn't care about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You were not able to take time out to learn. You were not able to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You did not take them seriously. And until there came the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the deceiver, that is shaitan, deceived you concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah save us all from the deceptions of shaitan, because this will bring regrets in our lives. So today, no ransom will be taken from you or from those who disbelieve. Your refuge is the fire. It is most worthy of you, and rich is the destination. Has the time not come for those who have believed that their hearts should become humbly submissive at the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Here we can ask, is our hearts humbly submissive to Allah's remembrance? And what has come down to of the earth, and let them not be like those who were given the scripture before, and a long period passed over them, so their hearts hardened, and many of them are defiantly disobedient. When people stay away from the zikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hardens their hearts. Know that Allah gives life to earth after its lifelessness. We have made clear to you the signs. Perhaps you will understand. Indeed, the men who practice charity and the women who practice charity. Notice here, Allah SWT is mentioning it separately. Men and women, they both practice charity. And they have loaned Allah a goodly loan. It will be multiplied for them, and they will have a noble reward. And those who have believed in Allah and His messengers, those are in the ranks of the supporters of the truth and the martyrs, with their Lord, for them is their reward and their light. But those who have disbelieved and denied our verses, those are the companions of the hellfire. What do we learn in this paragraph? Noor of the believer will light their way. And Allah is inviting to give us a loan to be repaid. And hypocrites will be begging to borrow light from the believers. And hypocrisy doesn't come all at once. It seeps in slowly. This is why we have to be careful. And the hypocrites procrastinate. And the heart becomes hard if they're not, if we don't obey. Ayah number 20 to 25, a reality of life. Know that the life of this world is but amusement and diversion and adornment and boasting to one another in a competition in the increase of wealth and children, like the example of the rain, whose resulting plant growth pleases the tillers. Then it dries you and you see it turn yellow. Then it becomes scattered debris. And in the hereafter is severe punishment. And forgiveness from Allah and approval. And what is the worldly life except the enjoyment of delusion? Rays that is compete towards forgiveness from your Lord, a garden whose width is like the width of the heavens and the earth, prepared for those who believed in Allah and His messengers. That is the bounty of Allah, which He gives to whom He wills. And Allah is a possessor of a great bounty. No disaster strikes upon the earth or among yourself, except that it is in a register. Before we bring it into being, indeed, that for Allah is easy, in order that you not despair over what has eluded you, and not exult in pride over that what He has given you. And Allah does not like everyone self-deluded and boastful. Those are who are stingy and enjoin upon people stinginess, and and whoever turns away, that indeed Allah is the free of need and praiseworthy. Allah does not like stingy people. Miserliness is not from iman. We have already sent our messengers with clear evidences and sent down with them the scripture and the balance, with that the people may maintain their affairs in justice. And we send down iron, wherein is great military might and benefit for the people, and so that Allah has made evidence those who support Him and His messengers unseen. Indeed, Allah is powerful and exalted in might. What do we learn here? Iron Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave down as a blessing so people can make things and benefit themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps from ghaib, from unseen, and learn lessons from the hardship. And in good times also, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 26 to 29, He will give double, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give double the mercy. To who? Let's see. And we have already sent Noah and Ibrahim and placed in their descendants prophethood and scripture, and among them is he who is guided, but many of them are defiantly disobedient. Then we sent following their footsteps, that is traditions, our messengers, and followed them with Jesus, the son of Mary, and gave him gospel. And we placed in the hearts of those who followed him compassion and mercy and monasticism, which they innovated, meaning monasticism is not a part of Islam, which they innovated. We did not prescribe it for them except that they did so, seeking the approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Notice here, people do good things and thinking that it is a good thing to do. But if it's not from Quran and Sunnah, it is not a good thing to do. Seeking the approval of Allah, but they did not observe it with due observance. So we gave the ones who believed among them their rewards, but many of them are defiantly disobedient. O you who have believed, fear Allah and believe in his messenger. He will then give you double portion of his mercy and make for you a light by which you will walk and forgive you. And Allah is forgiving and merciful. Notice here, light is mentioned again. Do you see the light and the light and the light? Noor, don't we have to worry about the light? And we have already learned the dua about the light and dua in Noor we learned earlier, right? Allahumma. Allahumma ja'al qalbi noora wa fi sam'i noora wa fi basari noora. Remember that dua, take it out and recite it today, inshallah. This is so that the people of the scripture may know that they are not able to obtain anything from the bounty of Allah, and that all bounty is in the hand of Allah. He gives it to whom he wills, and Allah is the possessor of a great bounty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give a lot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give fadl to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bestow light upon us. Only if we want this light, then we have to recheck our lifestyle. What is my priority? What is my monthly expensive? Where the bulk of the money goes and where the bulk of money doesn't go? And how much savings do I have? And what am I willing to spend on the weddings? And what am I willing to spend on education of my child? And what am I spending, willing to spend on the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If this ratio and proportion is perfect, alhamdulillah. If not, then we can make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ability to perfect the ratio and proportion so that we can have enough light on the day of judgment. And the next slide, we have today's dua. And the next slide, the last slide, did you see, is the take-home message. What is the take-home message? Ask yourself, where do I want to be? In the front side, or I am satisfied with majority of the Muslims who are happy to be on the right side. Those Muslims who are happy to be on the right side, they will always stay on the right side unless they come to Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, illa masha'allah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May Allah make this extra time that we took as a sadaqah jariyah for you and accept from all of us. Ameen.
Ameen, summa ameen. Jazakumullah khairan kathira wa hasan jaza, Sister Faiza. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Beautiful surah, beautiful juz and beautiful messages, subhanallah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin for another blessing, completed juz 27th, with beautiful messages, subhanallah. So many attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Will we be heedless and will not pay attention to the Almighty Rabb? And he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the Lord of the entire universe. What a title. 7 surahs completed, all amazing, subhanallah. Don't you fall in love with the beautiful kalam of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep us busy learning our Rabb's kalam till we are 6 feet under. May this divine book becomes a permanent resident of our heart. Ya Allah, we do not deny any of your favors. Ya Allah, make Quran the priority of our lives. Make it a front row in our lives. Ameen, summa ameen. It's been a long day. And inshallah wa ta'ala, let's share our feelings before we leave today's session. Let's pour our hearts out with the gratitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Wa iyyakum. Yes, sisters. Unnecessary curiosity weakens iman. Indeed it does. Indeed it does. And do zikr morning and night, importance of azkars, yes. What else? Anyone else? Everything is created in pairs, and we should give in pairs. None of the favors of our Lord do we deny. Exactly. لا بشيء من نعمي ربنا نكذب. Yes, alhamdulillah. Give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Charity, yes. Alhamdulillah. Life, live in balanced life. Constant gratefulness for the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, indeed. Allahu Akbar. Mainly, you know, like, we have to be a grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to achieve level of tadabbur on the verses of Quran and creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessing. Indeed, sister, I to sister, you find where you like to sign up with them, but couldn't be to the call. Could you please email this information, sister? It just went so fast. I would like you to please email. Then we can go from there. Spend just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give lots of charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like to just with the question. Inshallah wa ta'ala. Inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put loads of barakah in your decision to learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam. And you know, sisters, it is obviously anything we do, even if we spend $1, it is going to multiply multiple folds, inshallah ta'ala. So give in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way for charity and stuff. So Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it falls into in Laylatul Qadr, and you can imagine how much it's going to multiply. Speech is a gift and farewell. Indeed it is. Indeed it is. And ask them who cannot speak. I have a cousin who cannot talk. I have a daughter who is hard of hearing. So we know exactly. Even if one thing is missing in your body, it's going to cost you. You know, like the disability is just going to be overwhelming sometimes. My mother-in-law, she can't see. So it's just like overwhelming thing. So we cannot, how can we just begin to be unthankful? Just, it doesn't fathom, you know, it's just, we have to be thankful all the time for even for tiniest things, inshallah wa ta'ala. Let's conclude the class. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put loads of barakah and sadqa jariya for all the extra time you guys have been giving. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Ya Allah, we are so very grateful for this blessing in our lives. Ya Allah, we do not deny any of your blessings. Ya Allah, please make us among your most grateful servants. Ya Allah, please do not strip it out of our lives. Ya Allah, honor us to establish Quran in our lives. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ اللَّهُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي لَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا اللَّهُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي لَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا Allahu Allahu Rabbi la ushriku bihi shayya. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa ahsan jaza. If life and health permitted, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will see you tomorrow with Juz 28, inshallah wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep all of us in his hizaman, in his afiyat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from any kind of shir and evil there is. Ameen, summa ameen. Rabbana. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على رسول خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته